Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Memorial Day weekend usually means just one thing.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
Road trip, right? Not for folks, not for a lot of folks at least.
It's too expensive. So therefore, we just figured we'll stay at home and do things families normally do.
Not everyone's staying home.
I'm Peter King along Interstate 95 in Titusville, Florida. The road warriors are out.
We're headed from Port St. Lucie, Florida, up to Charleston, South Carolina.
Trying to beat the rush.
We wanted to miss as much of the traffic as possible. That's why we got on the road very early this morning.
Chandra Neumeister hit the road well before sunrise. Others are just starting out. Despite higher gas prices, AAA says 84% of this weekend's travelers are driving, partly because of convenience.
And it's actually cheaper to drive than it is to fly, even with gas prices as high as they are.
Peter King, CBS News, Titusville, Florida.
If you're cruising in a Corvette, GM wants you to cruise by a dealership, because whether you like it or not, that vet could soon become a convertible.
The glue that holds the two pieces together can not hold, and the plastic part can separate from the metal.
That's GM's Alan Adler. The recall involves 31,000 vets, model years 2005-2006. There was trouble on the road home for a couple busloads of high school kids heading back to New Jersey from a trip to Florida. The buses slammed into each other on I-95 in North Carolina. 44 kids got banged up a bit, nothing serious. Can't say the same for the guy behind the wheel.
People were calm, and it was him.
He was taken to hospital after being pinned against the steering wheel. Investigators are checking to see if that first bus was in good mechanical shape. Plenty of folks on Capitol Hill were probably looking to sneak out a bit early and hit the road for the Memorial Day weekend, but the sound of gunfire forced them to keep tight inside their offices today.
People were calm, and it was handled very professionally, and they're to be commended and complimented.
Turns out that wasn't gunfire. New Jersey Congressman Jim Saxon heard inside a parking garage. It was an elevator repairman with a hammer. A federal judge has ordered Time magazine to hand over documents pertaining to the Scooter Libby CIA leak investigation case. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen says...
The ruling is bad news for Time magazine, but not for the New York Times. The judge did not order former Times reporter Judy Miller to turn over her notes, at least not yet, although he specifically said that he would review the issue closer to trial in January. So this side issue about the First Amendment is going to track this case right until the end.
The feds have approved a beefed-up version of the chickenpox vaccine to prevent shingles. The disease usually pops up in the elderly, makes for a miserable couple of weeks, even months, with itching, burning, a nasty rash that eventually leads to blisters with scabs. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week on a strong note, gaining 67 points. This is CBS News.
You know, I think the house is looking good.
Other than the dining room, living room, and kitchen, I totally agree.
Once again, my plan has failed.
It's the Memorial Day sale at Sherwin-Williams. This Thursday through Monday, save 25% on our high-quality paints and stains, 15% on Duration Premium coatings, and an extra 25% on Waverly wallpaper books. Hurry, sale ends Monday. Ask how, ask now.
Ask Sherwin-Williams.
For locations, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply.
If your sinus congestion comes with pain, it's time to clear something up about sinus medicine. Some sinus medicines treat congestion, but not pain. New Tylenol Sinus is different. It gives more complete relief by combining the pure pain relief of Tylenol with powerful sinus medicine. Stop. Think. New Tylenol Sinus. Take only as directed.
Even before Katrina, there was one New Orleans site that was already mostly underwater, but that's what an aquarium is. Today they reopened it.
Audubon Nature Institute President Ron Foreman presided over the reopening.
This is a historical day for the city of New Orleans. We were hit with the worst natural disaster in the country. Our city has been shut down for almost 9 months. The city's coming back.
Spokeswoman Melissa Lee says the staff has worked round the clock since Katrina to reopen the aquarium. They went to the Florida Keys and the Bahamas to catch tropical fish, and others pitched in as well.
Other zoos and aquariums from around the country have sent us animals and made wonderful, generous donations.
Don Ames for CBS News, New Orleans.
They say swans mate for life. If that's true, this guy's bound to get a little frustrated. A swan in the German town of Munster has fallen in love with one of those swan-shaped paddle boats, about five times its size. The real swan sits next to it all the time, protects it by chasing away sailboats that get a little too close to its honey. I'm Chris Mavridi, CBS News.
It's Memorial Weekend Madness at CompUSA, starting with a Midnight Madness this Friday, 6 p.m. to midnight, then Saturday, 9 till noon. Get an Acer laptop for just $399, plus nearly $500 worth of accessories. Or get a 40-inch Olivia LCD TV with $800 instant savings, plus a free Xbox 360, a $399 value. Till midnight Friday and Saturday till noon at CompUSA. We got it, we get it.
Offers after rebates with activation and purchase of Vonage and Sprint service. Prices vary in Connecticut while supplies last. See store for details.
From being buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Peter B. Collins.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show as we head into this long Memorial Day weekend. I am delighted you are listening on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. On our website, KRXA540.com, or on our delayed broadcast in Sacramento or Phoenix. If you're on the Central Coast, you have to be listening online today. The phone company has reported some problems, and the signal's not getting to our KRXA transmitter right now. Sparky's working on it. On our program today, we're going to take a look at Iran, Iraq, and the situation in the Middle East with Kaveh Ehsani. He's co-editor of the Middle East Report. He'll join us in about a half hour. In our second hour today, our weekly visit with Scott Dick, the retired Army major who contributes to our program on veterans and military affairs. We're going to talk about how the Veterans Administration lost 26 million data records, about how Haditha Iraq may become the me lie of this war, and Senator Jeffrey Miller, the guy who ran Gitmo and then went to Gitmoize Abu Ghraib, he took the stand today. We'll talk about his testimony. Also on our program, our weekly report from Assembly Budget Chair John Laird and Brad Friedman, the proprietor of BradBlog.com, updates us on electoral malfeasance and all those pesky little Diebold machines. It's all ahead. Your calls and comments are welcome at any moment. You can call me at 888-579-2540, toll free. That's 888-579-2540. And you can drop me an email if you feel like it, peter@peterbcollins.com. Your emails may be subject to scrutiny by the National Security Administration in that little secret room at the hub in San Francisco. And, of course, your phone calls might be monitored, too, by those same fine folks that President Bush says are making us safer. Joining me to kick off the program today is Philip Zimmerman. He is a computer specialist, and he has developed some very interesting encryption software. And I think in some ways he's on the front lines of this struggle over privacy and security in this country. Phil Zimmerman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today. Hello, Phil. Can you hear me? Joe, let's make sure all those buttons are down in mono and audition and program. And let's see if Phil is able to hear me. And let's punch Phil up there and see if we can connect with him. At any rate, Phil Zimmerman is the creator of the software called Pretty Good Privacy. It's an email encryption software package, And he also has some interesting developments related to voice over IP communications. Those are phone calls that use the internet for the connectivity. And Phil Zimmerman, are you able to hear me right now?
Yes, I am.
Oh, great. I thought maybe my good buddy Benny at the NSA had plugged in to prevent our communication.
Oh, they only listen. They never talk.
Well, I understand. But sometimes they could, you know, botch the connection and make it impossible for us to hear one another. Thanks for joining us today. It's nice to talk with you.
Sure.
And I learned about you through a John Markoff article in the New York Times earlier this week. He is a guy who knows a lot about the web and technology and did a great job, I think, of describing what you do. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about PGP and how you came to develop it?
Well, PGP was originally a human rights project that I developed in the early 1990s. In fact, I actually started thinking about developing PGP in the 1980s during the Reagan years, especially in 84 when we were... and I was working in the peace movement and grassroots political organizations. I thought that at that time there was a lot of tension between the White House and the peace movement in that long bygone era. Certainly we don't have anything like that today.
Oh, no.
and so we were called, you know, Soviet puppets. and peace groups were subject to a lot of harassment and in some cases break-ins. That we later discovered when we did FOIA requests. And I felt that grassroots political organizations needed more protection from their own governments, in our government in the U.S., and maybe other peace movements in other countries, or human rights groups. Mm-hmm. And so PGP began in earnest in 1991 as a human rights project. And then I published it on the Internet at that time, and soon thereafter, the government took an interest in trying to put me in the slammer for it. And so for 3 years, I had to fight them off in a criminal investigation.
Now, talk about that a little bit. What were the legal issues that they brought?
Well, in the early 1990s and in the years before that, the cryptography software was a controlled technology. It was on the munitions list of items that the State Department had. They had a list of items that couldn't be exported without a permit. The munitions list contained things like Stinger missiles, helicopter gunships, nuclear warheads, and encryption software. And so to export any of those, you had to have a license from the State Department, and I certainly didn't have anything like that. I posted it on the Internet, and it spread all around the world because it was free. And they deemed that as an export.
Mm-hmm. And a treasonous act, perhaps?
Well, I don't think they quite used words like that, but they wanted to convict me of violating the Arms Export Control Act.
And when was that passed?
I don't recall when that was passed, but it's probably been around for many more years before that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still around today, only today the munitions list doesn't have cryptography software on it anymore. The law was changed, and in 2000 they lifted the export controls.
I see. And so then after the government dropped its case in early 1996, I'm reading from your website in case you wonder how I know all this, you founded PGP Incorporated and then Network Associates, the people who own the Coliseum in Oakland.
Well, yeah, we ran out of money, and I had to sell the company. And it was in the hands of Network Associates for a while, but they didn't really know how to sell the product, because they sold hundreds of products and didn't really understand the complexities of PGP, so it didn't really do that well in their hands. But then a couple years later, a new startup was formed, and they bought the intellectual property back from Network Associates.
So that's where you are now, PGP Corporation?
Yes.
I see. Okay. And what is
I'm not really there as an employee. It's not my company anymore.
Oh, I see.
I have a good relationship with them, and I'm on their board of advisors, and they gave me some stock, and they give me a retainer. But mostly I work on my own projects, such as this new one.
Mm-hmm. And describe the new one, please, Phil Zimmerman.
Well, the new one is really cool. It's a way of encrypting voice phone calls. The Internet is replacing the public switch telephone network to carry phone calls.
Right. That's Skype and similar services.
Right. And so the...
Excuse me, but are you using voice over IP right now? Because it's a really clear signal.
No, I'm using a regular phone.
A good old landline.
A good old public switch telephone network that we've all been using for 100 years.
Okay.
But, you know, if you look at the threat model for wiretapping, the PSTN, it's fairly narrow. You know, it's a couple of guys with alligator clips, you know, coming to your office and listening outside. You know, they might attach the wires to, you know, attach to the wires near your office or your home. Or law enforcement might be doing it down at the telephone switch. Or in the long-distance lines, they might be doing it on, intelligence agencies might be intercepting it.
Mm-hmm.
And although we all think of that as you know, really bad right now because that's in the news a lot, at least it's a fairly narrow set of possible wiretappers. That pretty much is the long and short of the threat model for the PSTN. But for VoIP, the threat model is vastly greater. It means, for example, that someone could infect one of the PCs in your office. You might work in a company with 1,000 workstations,
mm-hmm.
and one of them gets infected with spyware. And that spyware watches all the network traffic in your office and catches the VoIP packets and stores them on the disk, maybe organizing them into WAV files, organized by who's calling who,
mm-hmm.
and somebody could remotely control that spyware from the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm. A WAV file is an audio file, by the way. Go ahead.
That's right. And so you could have point-and-click wiretapping from the other side of the world. Nobody has to come to your office with alligator clips and get outside and, you know, climb a telephone pole and mm-hmm. clip on these things. And they don't have to be your own government, you know, which has access to the phone switch. It could be, say, the Chinese government mm-hmm. or the Russian mafia or, a freelance hacker. In fact, it might be someone who didn't actually write the spyware that's on that computer that has infected one of your computers.
Mm-hmm.
It could be done by a script kiddie, as we call them in the security business. Today, spyware and worms and viruses are usually not written by the people that put them on your computer. Criminal organizations buy them from other people that create them for this purpose. And in the old days, before criminals got involved, teenage boys would take your PC out for a joyride,
sure.
using some software that they didn't themselves write that mm-hmm. invades your computer. Mm-hmm. They called them script kiddies.
Yeah. Phil, let me stop you there for a minute. We have to take a break and pay the bills. And when we come back, I want to talk a little more about what you've developed, because from what I understand, this is a kind of encryption system that we as individuals could employ. And it sounds very interesting, and that it could help us regain the privacy that many of us feel is at risk right now. We're talking with computer technology specialist. He's a software engineer, Philip Zimmerman. If you want to get more information, his website is philzimmerman.com. And there are two M's and two N's in Zimmerman. And you can join me with a question or comment if you'd like to. Call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Rock Roller Real Estate is taking a vacation this Sunday, but we'll be playing one of our best shows, Investing in Arizona Real Estate with Linda Gerchick. Linda Gerchick was the number one commercial real estate agent for REMAX Commercial Investment in Arizona in 2005, and she'll be on this Sunday. If you ever wanted to know why now's the time to invest in real estate, this is the show to listen to. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10. To be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376 or check us out on the web at rockrollerrealestate.com.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover creeklands, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave the Coastal Gardener every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC7.
No matter where you are in Monterey County, you deserve to be in a safe environment. Robert Owen, who is running for Monterey County Sheriff, has concern about the recent serious injuries sustained by inmates within the Monterey County Jail. Robert Owen is a dedicated, long-term employee of the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen has worked as a jail sergeant for over 26 years and has 31 years of service as a Monterey County Sheriff. Robert Owen is concerned about the retention of deputies in the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen is so concerned that he is running for Monterey County Sheriff and personally financing his campaign. He will not be obligated to any special interest groups.
This is Robert Owen, and I am asking for your vote for Monterey County Sheriff on June 6th.
Your vote matters. On June 6th, please vote Robert Owen, Monterey County Sheriff.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show from the left coast and oozing eastward. If you have a comment, you can join me right now, toll free, 888-579-2540. As we continue with Phil Zimmerman, we're talking about ways you can add security to your phone calls. And before we resume with Phil, I want to note that the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday voted to support net neutrality. It's a much tougher bill than had been entertained by the committee about a month ago. And this is progress. This is an issue we've been talking about on and off here on the program. And in essence, the internet companies, the phone companies, want to try to set up tiers of service, which could disadvantage many of us who like the level playing field of today's internet. Phil Zimmerman, as we mentioned, is the man who developed the software PGP, and he has a new program out, which is called ZPhone, that encrypts a computer-to-computer voice conversation. That's a voice-over IP phone call like Skype or Vonage, whatever they call that. And it does the encryption so that both parties can be confident that no one is listening in. It became available earlier this year for Macintosh and Linux users, and the Windows version was released as a free download earlier this week. Phil, tell us a little bit about Z Phone, how it works, and just how pissed off the government is about this.
It works by you install it on your computer, on your PC or your Macintosh computer, or on a Linux machine, and watches all the packets going in and out of your computer to see which ones are related to voice over IP, mm-hmm. internet telephones. It intercepts those and encrypts them and sends them on their way. Or if they're incoming, it decrypts them. It's kind of a filter. Think of it as like a bump in the cord. If it was an external hardware device, think of it as a little box with a plug on one side that goes to your computer and a plug on the other side that goes to the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Except it's inside your computer.
Okay.
And so it encrypts all the calls. It negotiates a cryptographic key at the beginning of the call, assuming the other side has the same software running on there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a voice encryption software. Excuse me. It's not a VoIP client application. You get to use your favorite VoIP client application that you're already using. Unfortunately, it doesn't work with Skype because they haven't told anyone how their protocols work. So
I see.
It's not an open standard. But with any standard VoIP application, it should encrypt it.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it have a back door so that if the FISA court approved a warrant that your software could be used by law enforcement authorities to monitor a call?
No, it doesn't have a back door. There is a law called CALEA that regulates the behavior of phone companies, and the FCC recently tried to extend that law to voice over IP phone companies as well. CALEA requires the phone companies to provide access to the phone traffic, but it's not, there's a court challenge to stop that from applying to VoIP. But if that court challenge fails and CALEA does apply to VoIP service providers, then it still doesn't apply to me or to my software or to people that are using my software, because end users are not subject to CALEA,
mm-hmm.
Just the phone companies are.
All right.
So these end users are free to use encryption software if they want.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So if the encryption software negotiates the keys just between the end users and doesn't involve the internet, the voice over IP service provider, then it's hard to see how CALEA and wiretapping from the government could succeed.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Got a couple of callers. Dave and Eureka, you're first. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Phil Zimmerman.
Hey, Bill.
Phil.
You know, presently our Patriot Act has fallen into some pretty disreputable hands, and they do have the ability to invade just about any system right now. They argued before Congress how they were in the business of fighting crime and that there could be espionage or drug trafficking or something like that occur on the Internet, and they want the ability to get in right then and to prevent such things from happening. Like this, though, they were the good guys, not the criminals. But so they won't allow any system that will prevent them from doing what they want to do. You're confident you can block out even these Patriot Act threats?
Well, you know, they have to work within the confines of law.
They never heard of any laws.
Well, they're going to have to work within the confines of mathematics, at least in my case. My software is operated by the end users, and the only way they're going to be able to stop that is to try to write new laws that say that end users aren't allowed to do it. And if they do that, then we're back to the 1990s, where we all had to fight pretty hard to give everyone the right to use strong cryptography. You know, the end users are able right now to encrypt their email and their web transactions. When you go online to buy something with your Visa card,
mm-hmm.
you're using a web browser with there's a little padlock down in the corner of the screen that says that you're talking through an encrypted channel to mm-hmm. type in your credit card number. E-commerce wouldn't be possible without strong encryption.
God, I hope this works. Do get your email address again before you leave, huh?
I'll mention it right now. Thanks for the call, Dave. We're just about out of time, Phil Zimmerman. So I want to thank you for your work, and thanks for sharing information today. Go to Phil Zimmerman, ZimmermanN.com, and you can download the free software called Z-Phone. Phil, thank you very much, and thanks for helping secure our conversations.
My pleasure.
All right. Coming up next, we'll talk about the situation in the Middle East with Kaveh Asani from the Middle East Report here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
By exploring nature with friends, children can continue to learn through the summer while having fun. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guests to talk about summer activities for your family. Call us with some of your favorite things to do with children during the summer.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues on this Friday afternoon, heading into our long Memorial Day weekend. We are taking the day off Monday. You'll hear the best of Peter B. Collins, at least the best we can muster. Returning to our program today is co-editor of the Middle East Report, Kaveh Ehsani. He is the co-editor, as we mentioned. He's also been on the editorial board of GoToGu, which is a quarterly journal about Iran. And he was a research scholar at the University of Illinois in Chicago. Kaveh, welcome back. Good to talk with you.
Good talking to you.
And I just noted the University of Illinois. Is that Chicago Circle?
That's correct.
Wow, I matriculated there.
Oh, really?
And that's nobody remembers.
Well, you do, and that's what counts. I hope you have fond memories.
Oh, I did. I loved Chicago. I had a great time there. That's where I started doing radio talk shows, and I was on at night, and I went to school during the day at the University of Chicago at the Circle campus there on the west side.
That's right. That's what a lot of our students do.
Let's talk about what's going on between the U.S. and Iran, and then a little bit later in the segment, Kaveh, I'd like to turn to the developments in Israel and Palestine this week. But first up on this program, we have talked to a number of people with information about the situation in Iran, and what they tell us is that U.S. forces have already penetrated the borders of Iran. We understand that some are in the southern part of the country and some up closer to the Iraqi border. We also understand that some, I don't know if we call them mercenaries or freedom fighters or independents, but a group that had been known as MEK has been kind of reflagged by the U.S. and covertly sent into Iran. And against that backdrop, some of our sources indicated that the U.S. may be prepared to launch airstrikes, missile strikes into targets in Iran as early as a couple of weeks from now, and possibly much later. It's very hard to gauge the timeline. But with that just as background, would you like to add any comments about what your sources tell us that the U.S., you know, any kind of groundwork or forward planning that you may be aware of to date?
Well, I think, you know, the news that you were or the developments that you were referring to have been floating about for a long time. I mean, for a couple of years. And every now and then they become, you know, they become much more of concern and they kind of become more prominent in the public eye. You know, a couple of, like about a month and a half ago, Seymour Hersh published an article in New Yorker that really kind of started a big wave of interest and concern, because he mentioned that U.S. was getting ready to, you know, strike Iran and even perhaps use tactical nuclear weapons against Iran's nuclear facilities. And this brought about stringent denials by, you know, the Pentagon and also the White House. And, you know, so it's, you know, my sense is that it's it's really anybody's guess what the United States and what Iran are trying to do and, or are willing to do and how far they're willing to go. The basic point is this, that any direct U.S. Military action against Iran, or even by proxy through the MEK, which is basically a terrorist organization, or through the Israelis, you know, with airstrikes by the Israelis, will have really dire consequences for everybody concerned, and probably primarily for the United States. What will happen with the Iranian regime is that it's going to get consolidated a lot more, because there'll be a huge nationalist backlash and mobilization of the population behind the regime, which is fairly unpopular at this point.
I would refer to that as the same failed policy that has been so effective in getting Castro to step down in Cuba.
True. I mean, you know, that's a good comparison.
Yeah, we end up hardening the resolve of people behind a leader that they don't especially support.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, the U.S.'s argument about, you know, the threats that Iran's nuclear program poses is understandable. I mean, you know, proliferation of any kind is not to anybody's interest, because it will just militarize a region that's already militarized up to the teeth. And, you know, with these regimes in the region, which are fairly, you know, fairly unstable, you know, you can, you know, things can very easily get out of hand. But on the other hand, you have to be reasonable and even-handed and realize that, you know, with several nuclear neighbors, which are fairly hostile, such as Pakistan, India, and Israel, and the U.S. military is sitting on its borders, you know, the Iranian regime is would be kind of stupid not to think along defensive lines. And even if it is pursuing a hidden nuclear weapons program, it is understandable why, because, you know, you and I would do the same thing if we were threatened. You know, we would try to defend our house. And, you know, there are solutions. There are diplomatic solutions, and the solution is for the U.S. to consent finally to sit down and discuss with Iran and sit down and negotiate with Iran over a package of, you know, mutual security deals. Mm-hmm. And understandings, and that's the only constructive way out. Any other solution is going to be devastating for the region and for the United States.
Many of us on the left in this country are critical of this administration because we see it repeating some of the same steps that led us to war in Iraq. And it does appear that the Iranians sense this, and they are not hunkering down in the manner that Saddam Hussein did, trying to bluff and kind of dodge their way through the process. And instead, they're being very proactive. And the 18-page letter from Ahmadinejad to Bush, the personal letter, has been followed up with other expressions that indicate that even the mullahs who are truly in charge in Iran see the benefit of trying to engage the U.S. in direct bilateral dialogue. Yet the Bush administration tends to wave this off because it doesn't fit into their MO or what appears to be, you know, the kind of conflict that they seem to want to develop with the leaders in Tehran.
That's true. I mean, you know, what's fascinating to me is how the Iranian regime gets caricaturized in the American press uncritically, you know, all the time. The Iranian regime is, you know, far more sophisticated and a highly able political machine. It's not like the Ba'athist regime under Saddam Hussein. First of all, it has a lot more popular support and legitimacy than the Iraqi regime ever did. It's a much larger country. It's a, you know, it's the largest country in the Middle East. It's very strategically located. And it's a, you know, it's a regime of survivors. I mean, you know, we have to remember that this is a regime that has been in power against invasions, against foreign interventions, including by the U.S. and European powers and the Soviet Union and Russia after that, for, you know, a quarter of a century. They, you know, they've lived under sanctions, they've lived through wars, they've managed to defend themselves and, you know, maintain the national territory, and they've done it with popular support. So, you know, I mean, just kind of referring to them as a theocracy or a police state or a regime of kind of demagogic mullahs, even though I do believe that, you know, that those are fairly accurate descriptions at one level, but this is a much, very multi-layered regime, you know, so you're dealing with a very, you know, crafty opponent.
According to the Washington Post, several diplomats say senior Iranian officials have asked a multitude of intermediaries to pass word to Washington, making clear their appetite for direct talks. Ali Larijani, chairman of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, passed a message to the head of the UN's International Atomic Energy Agency, that's Mohammed El-Baradei, and he arrived in Washington for talks with Secretary Rice and National Security Advisor Stephen Hadley. They've also made overtures through Indonesia, Kuwait, and UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. So while I am not trying to make the leaders in Tehran out to be just nice guys who want to, you know, have friendly talks with Washington, I do think that this is a very important initiative that so far has been dismissed and just brushed off by this administration in Washington.
True. I mean, you know, let's remember that Iran has been making those overtures overtly and covertly since 2001. Iran helped the United States crush the Taliban regime in Afghanistan and supported the U.S. after 9/11. It was Bush's infamous speech of, you know, 2002, calling Iran axis of evil, that broke off that rapprochement that had taken place. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, you know, this is why the Iranian regime is playing hardball. What they want to do is they want to get the United States, which has an, you know, semi-official policy of regime change for Iran, to drop that policy and to give security guarantees and to recognize the Iranian government.
Mm-hmm.
What the Americans want, what the Bush administration is interested in, is, and I think this will become more and more clear through the fall, is that, you know, Iraq has turned into a quagmire and a disaster. Nothing has worked out as expected. So the U.S. will be gradually, you know, moving its troops out of Iraq. What they do not want is for a strong Iran to remain in their wake, to become the major supporter of the Shia and the Kurds in Iraq and become the predominant player in both Afghanistan and in Iraq. They want to really bloody Iran's nose and diminish Iran's power.
Mm-hmm.
So that despite the fact that U.S.'s troops leave Iraq, nevertheless, you know, U.S. remains the main power broker within Iraq itself.
Allison Humboldt, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Kaveh Asani.
This is Alice.
Yes, it
Hello,
is Alice.
Peter.
Welcome.
And Kaveh.
Hi.
Here in Eureka, some of us stand in front of our courthouse on Friday evenings with signs asking, bring the troops home. I can't do it very often myself, but I'm planning to be there tonight if it doesn't pour rain.
Is it threatening to rain in Eureka, Alice?
Pardon?
Is it threatening to rain in Eureka today?
That's what they said.
Holy
well,
God.
We have had some rain, I guess.
Yeah, we have too.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, that's great for you, Erica. I mean, I really support you and I commend you.
Well, thanks for getting out there, Alice.
I want to meet some of your good listeners.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, then let's spread the word. Anybody listening on KGOE this afternoon, meet Alice. Where should they meet you, Alice, precisely?
I think if they could come and stand with us for 1 hour from 5 to 6,
mm-hmm.
I would like meeting some of the others.
Okay. And exactly what location, Alice?
At the courthouse.
At the courthouse.
At
okay.
the courthouse. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thanks for your
okay.
activism. You set a great standard for the rest of us to keep up with, Alice.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Kaveh, we're going to go to a break in a second. Just one other thing I want to ask you related to Iran. The New York Times reported earlier this week that the U.S. will hold a joint military exercise using naval, army, and air forces with Turkey next week, and that this is part of a three-year effort known as the Proliferation Security Initiative. Is this just more saber-rattling, or do you think that this is a little more ominous than simply some exercises?
Well, it is. It's a little bit of both. The U.S. actually, if you look a little bit closer, the U.S. has been slowly moving its military power base in Eastern Europe. I mean, you know, now there's a discussion of, anti-missile defenses being set up in Poland and in perhaps Romania, you know, to ward off Iran's, you know, an Iranian threat. Such Iranian threat to Europe doesn't really exist. But I think under this kind of neo-Cold Warish rhetoric, you know, of setting up Iran as a big threat to Europe and to the rest of the world, U.S. is really kind of undertaking a major strategic military shift, you know, by really moving its forces and making to the Eastern Europe and making Eastern Europe a power base, probably to fend off Russia and to control the Persian Gulf oil even better than it does now.
All right, Kaveh, we're going to take a quick break and return. Kaveh Asani is the co-editor of the Middle East Report. And when we return, we'll talk about Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, I'm still working on his name, Olmert, the new Prime Minister of Israel, his visit to Washington, and the interesting response from Abu Mazen, the head of the Palestinians. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay Area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
It's so exciting, honestly, to just be back on the air. And this was a great victory, not for me individually or not even for the group that helped put this together, but for the community. And quite frankly, it really shows you that when we all bond together in a common cause, great things that can be done. I mean, Margaret Mead is the one who had that quote. She says, never let it be said that the work of a small group of committed people can change the world. For often, that's the only thing that ever has.
Mike Newcomb's Week in Review. Tune in Sundays from noon to 2, right here on KRXA 540.
Rock Roller Real Estate is taking a vacation this Sunday, but we'll be playing one of our best shows, Investing in Arizona Real Estate with Linda Gerchick. Linda Gerchick was the number one commercial real estate agent for REMAX Commercial Investment in Arizona in 2005, and she'll be on this Sunday. If you ever wanted to know why now's the time to invest in real estate, this is the show to listen to. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10. To be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376 or check us out on the web at rockrollandrealestate.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show on this beautiful Friday afternoon. We continue our conversation with Kaveh Asani. He's co-editor of the Middle East Report. And he is a guy who knows a lot more than I do about that region. That's why we bring people like him on the program. Kaveh, I wanted to get your reaction to the visit to Washington this week by the new Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert. Do you think that he came away with what he was looking for?
Yes, I mean, Olmert came to discuss the Israeli plans for unilaterally withdrawing from the occupied territories. And I think, oddly enough, the signals that he seems to have gotten from the Bush administration, on the one hand, were that he should really kind of legitimize Israeli policies by actually negotiating with the Palestinians. On the one hand, and also by taking an even harder position than he's willing to take at this point vis-a-vis the Palestinians.
Well, as to Bush's remarks there and his advice to Olmert, it kind of reminded me of the church lady. Isn't that special? Because here he is refusing to acknowledge the efforts by Iran to develop dialogue with the United States. And he's telling Olmert, well, you got some bold ideas, fella, but why don't you go back and talk to the Palestinians a few more times? Do you see any irony there, that kind of do as I say, not as I do?
I guess you're right.
So I think that, in that respect, Olmert came away with a little less than he had hoped. But I believe that is a much more viable approach. But now we have the situation of things unraveling on the Palestinian side. Hamas and Fatah are shooting it out in the streets. There's clear power grabs or jockeying underway. And just yesterday, Abbas, the president, also known as Abu Mazen, basically issued an ultimatum saying that he wants to take this 18-point proposal that was developed by Barghouti and his pals who were imprisoned in Israeli jails and put it up to a referendum, which appears to be a very interesting maneuver to challenge the leaders of Hamas to get on the same page with Abbas in terms of the posture toward Israel.
That's true. I mean, you know, it's a move by Abbas because, you know, at this point, the elections, the Palestinian elections basically delegitimized Mahmoud Abbas tremendously because they, you know, people turned their back on Fatah because, you know, which had an open hand in governing, you know, with, you know, not mentioning the, you know, the Israeli constraints imposed on them. But, you know, they were the unrivaled leaders of Palestinians and they did not deliver. So, they were delegitimized. So this is like putting the ball back in Hamas's court. But look, I mean, Palestinian politics are a little bit complicated because half the Palestinians are living in diaspora, in exile. They can't go back to their homeland, whether it be in Israel or in the West Bank and Gaza, because Israelis do not allow them to. So if Abbas is serious about this, you know, he has to also kind of think long-term that you know, eventually all Palestinians, those living in exile as well as those living, you know, within the occupied territories as well as in Israel, have to have a voice. And Israelis have to also recognize this, that this is the only democratic solution. Do you want to make peace along these lines or do you want to hold off for further negotiations?
Mm-hmm. And for some time now, going back to the point before Yasser Arafat passed away, the U.S. made it clear, along with Israel, that they felt that Arafat had become irrelevant. And I felt they sent a very dangerous signal in saying that we can work with Abbas. And, you know, I understand from the U.S. and Israeli perspective that, you know, he offers more at the bargaining table. On the other hand, simply by identifying him as somebody we think we can work with, don't we undermine his support from his own people?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you know, the no in the sense that if, you know, you can undermine somebody who has support from his own population and say, yes, we can work with him, and this will actually strengthen him even further. But, you know, if you're trying to deal and select somebody who, you know, is not supported by his own population, then, yeah, he's going to get even more delegitimized by working with the enemy. The core problem in this conflict, in my opinion, is the fact that you know, Israel and the U.S. have basically a it's difficult for me to kind of term it in any other way, but a more or less racist attitude toward the Palestinians. The you know, this is articulated by intellectual leaders like Bernard Lewis of Princeton University, that the Arabs and Palestinians only understand the language of force. So you can't reason with them. You have to kind of hit them over the head and only speak through force, not through negotiation, not through reasons, through reasoning. And until you have a policy of pure, brute, one-sided force, and, you know, there's no question that, you know, U.S. and Israel both are superpowers, relatively speaking, to the small, you know, peasants population of Palestine, yes, they can, you know, they can, force can be a very important instrument, but in the end, you know, we have had more than half a century of this conflict going on, and this population, despite its weakness, is not giving up on its rights to its territory and its historical homeland. So, you know, they have to sit down and negotiate, you know, not just through force, but through recognizing the inherent rights of Palestinians to their own democratic homeland.
And, Kaveh, the way the U.S. Aligned with Israel, when Israel unilaterally cut off the transfer of Palestinian tax money collected by Israel, I want to be clear, it's the Palestinians' money, and Israel saying you can't have it because Hamas is running your government, putting aside that they were freely elected in the kind of democratic process that Bush touts so often. And I believe that these moves have provoked further estrangement. They don't, in my view, give any incentive to Hamas to work with the U.S. and Israel.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an organization that we may, you know, we do not like because, you know, it has resorted to violence, but so have the Israelis. But Palestinians have elected them, and now they're being, you know, kind of crushed by pure brute force because we don't like to deal with them. Mm-hmm. You know, and this has happened. I mean, you know, this is a pattern. You know, the European Union was complaining vociferously to Israel because they spend, you know, I mean, there's all this discussion that the Palestinians have mislaid their money, but the European Union has spent between $1 billion and $2 billion of aid building infrastructure in the Gaza and in, you know,
Kaveh, I'm sorry, we got to stop. The clock is running. Thank you very much for joining us. Kaveh Hassani, Middle East Report.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Instead of drawing down, U.S. forces are beefing up.
CBS News has learned that the United States is sending more troops to Iraq to help contain the violence there.
A security lockdown on Capitol Hill.
It's a little unsettling to get a BlackBerry message put in front of you that says there's gunfire in the building.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Officials say their goal is to draw down the U.S. military presence in Iraq as Iraqi security forces get up to speed. But for the short term anyway, CBS News has learned that two new battalions totaling 1,500 soldiers are being sent to some of Iraq's most troubled areas. Retired Army Colonel Jeff McCausland is a CBS News military consultant.
They have moved additional battalions into Iraq to deploy to Al-Anbar province, which has been a center of insurgent activity, or to bolster patrolling activity, particularly in Baghdad.
Just today, a bomb killed 9 people at an outdoor market in the capital. About the ongoing investigation into last November's episode in Haditha, it seems likely that some Marines will be charged with murdering about 24 Iraqi civilians. CBS News correspondent David Martin says members of Congress have been told that 8 Marines and 1 Navy corpsman were present, but many more people know what happened because a second unit went in to take pictures.
One photo shows a woman and child in a kneeling position, shot as if they were praying or begging for mercy. Another photo shows a woman and children shot as they lay in bed. Many of the Iraqis were shot in the head or chest at close range.
The Marines initially said the victims had been killed by a roadside bomb and a subsequent gun battle with insurgents. Now this.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. In this surly to bed and surly to rise world, it's nice to find a group of people who love what they do. The accountants at Grant Thornton are just such people. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Visit grantthornton.com. It just might brighten your day, too. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
In the search for ways to improve healthcare, we'd like to add another solution. I-beams. That's right, I-beams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use I-beams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Sir, keep moving, please, for your safety. Keep moving. Please.
Business at the U.S. Capitol was disrupted today by what turned out to be a false alarm. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss was there.
Capitol Police locked members of Congress and their staffs in their offices for almost 5 hours, produced a massive show of force, and searched a huge office building with their own guns drawn, all because of a false report of gunshots. Police Sergeant Kimberly Schneider says it turns out a woman in the building's parking garage heard banging by construction workers.
And the call-in that we got this morning, this is what the person heard. It sounded like gunfire, and we responded as such.
Schneider says police, in this age when the fear of terrorism is ever-present, did what they had to do. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Apparently, the woman making the report was a staffer for New Jersey Congressman Jim Saxton, who says he heard the noise and had his office call in the report. Before senators left town, they confirmed General Mike Hayden as CIA director.
All those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The ayes have it. The ayes have it. The motion's adopted.
The vote was 78 to 15. Hayden had reassured skeptics that even though he's a military man, he'd be independent of the Pentagon. The Senate also confirmed Idaho Governor Dirk Kenthorne as Secretary of Interior and David Paulison as head of FEMA. He's been acting director since Michael Brown resigned after Hurricane Katrina. A warning for owners of late-model Corvettes. Your hardtop could suddenly become a convertible. GM's Alan Adler says they've had 21 reports of plastic roofs coming off.
The glue that holds the plastic to the magnesium frame can soften, and then the two parts can come apart.
No accidents or injuries, but nearly 31,000 vets are being recalled to fix the problem. Severe storms have brought damaging wind, torrential rain, lightning, and hail from the Ohio Valley to the East Coast. The town of Clyde, Ohio, was hit hard. Michael Carter believes they had a tornado.
We've seen a black cloud, maybe about this big around, pure black. It came right through here. These trees went around a circle, started throwing, you can see the concrete blocks.
A father, son, and grandson are missing in Indiana after their pickup was swept away by floodwaters. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
Aflac for small business. How can I help you?
Yeah, you cover small business?
Yes, we do.
Great, because I'm an ant.
Okay.
I got a tunneling business. You dig?
How many employees?
Well, it's a family-run business. Just me and my aunts.
Well, with Aflac for small business, you can enjoy a lot of the benefits of a big business.
Great.
Just call 1-800-99-AFLAC.
Did that.
Or go to aflacsb.com. Aflac for small business. Because small business needs...
Aflac!
Too.
Gotta run. Company picnic.
American family.
You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show on this fabulous Friday afternoon. And I hope you're prepared for a great Memorial Day weekend. Here at the PBC Show, we will be taking the day off Monday and presenting the best of Peter B. Collins. Well, you be the judge of that. Coming up next hour, our weekly visit with Assemblyman John Lair, the Democrat from Santa Cruz who chairs the Assembly Budget Committee. And also Brad Friedman's coming up next hour. He's from bradblog.com and our expert on electronic voting and related issues. Joining me now is Scott Dick, who retired from the Army as a major, and he is a world-class volunteer who contributes to the Peter B. Collins Show on military and veterans affairs. Scott, how are you today?
Peter, I'm fine. How are you?
Not too bad. Lots of stuff going on. First up, we just heard in the top of the hour news that despite yesterday's primetime news conference with Bush and Blair, where hints were dropped that we really want to bring troops home from Iraq, it was announced today that we're sending two more battalions over because, we're not able to control everything the way we'd like.
Well, that's that whiplash that we've been undergoing for the last couple of years where a general come out and say, we think that we can bring the troops home once we sign the Constitution, once we have the elections, once we have the constitutional government stood up, if you will. And then we have a political leader saying, no, you know, that's the generals aren't ready to do that yet. And then they flip-flop. We have somebody in the administration saying we can get troops out, reduce the numbers. Then we have a general say, well, we're not ready to do that yet. Mm-hmm. There's no civil war, Peter, as you know.
Right, right.
So I don't know why we're sending two battalions. And also, I don't know if you know, but the Marines have ended their mission in Afghanistan after 5 years.
Really?
You know, once we caught Muammar from the Taliban and Osama bin Laden, then it's okay for the Marines. They've been there 5 years, and it's a time to get them out. So they
Scott, we didn't catch Omar or Osama.
We didn't?
No.
Oh, I thought that we were done there. Anyway, we're pulling the Marines out of Afghanistan, and they're a small force. They're a fraction of the Army, and it's just been tough for them to keep troops there for Marines as long as they have, and 5 years is a long time to be any place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Italians have announced they're pulling out of Iraq, too, and that's a few hundred troops. Not a big deal, but the change of the guard in one form or another. Well, Scott, really topic A this week to me is a story that is starting to get some coverage. I heard a reference to it in the top of the hour news. But it has to do with an alleged act of atrocity that took place in Haditha, Iraq, last November 19th. Townspeople said the Marines killed 15 men, women, and children, and other reports put the civilian death toll as high as 24. And I first learned about this from Congressman Jack Murtha, when he appeared on television one night last week, and he issued this charge and demanded an investigation, and Rumsfeld has only responded that there is an investigation underway. But this appears to be a fairly serious incident that could become the me lie of the Iraq war.
There are some horrible parallels, Peter, and I don't know if our listeners are that familiar with my life, but basically, when the investigation was completed, there was 585 Vietnamese women and children, villagers and old men that were killed at My Lai. And Kali, who got away with murder, was charged individually with murder of 33 people, 33 Vietnamese. Now, a lot of people in the United States at that time claimed that he was a scapegoat for the Army and the Army in Vietnam.
He was a lieutenant, William Kelly, right?
Correct. He was a lieutenant, William Kelly. And, in fact, the investigation showed that he was charged with 33 counts of murder because that's what eyewitnesses there could put him in the position of actually physically pulling the trigger and killing an older man, a woman, or a child. And at one point, he actually ran down a road to chase down a toddler to shoot it in the back of the head. So the media didn't cover that story very well. They broke the story. Actually, a photographer, an Army combat photographer, broke the story. He couldn't stand it a year or so later. And it's amazing how it goes so against the grain of the average American to believe that our representatives in uniform could do that. That it was easier to believe that it was a whitewash, scapegoating of Cali. Now, There's a difference between supporting the troops and having been a troop and a Marine both. I don't think, Peter, you have any doubt in how much I support the troops. But lionizing them and putting them on a pedestal is just as wrong. And let me go over some. This is some things that have occurred in the last couple of years. They popped 15 National Guardsmen and active Army soldiers running drugs from Colombia, and they were. Sending the drugs in aircraft. That wasn't widely publicized. It was just publicized in military publications.
I don't think I heard about that one.
And they worked at embassies, and they were part of the anti-drug task force working in Colombia and other countries. And they ran a sting operation and picked up about 11 of them. But the other ones, they discovered were running the dope, and that's what opened up the sting operation.
All right.
They've had several. I would say probably half a dozen, two dozen, and. Who were involved in, right after they went into Baghdad, of stealing millions of dollars. They just stole whole Foot Lockers full of, $100 bill packets, and they were caught.
Well, and there were some cases where, I heard initial reporting and never any follow-up, but there were a couple of houses where Saddam's people had buried large amounts of American $100 bills in metal cases, and there were initial allegations that some of that had been nabbed by the people who dug it up before they could secure it.
Right, and a young Army captain really put the kibosh on that, but they weren't really sure if he got all of the money with all of the soldiers involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just against you know, saying we can't discuss any of this stuff because it's bad for troop morale or we're somehow disrespecting the average professional soldier. But these guys are professionals and gals, and so for them to murder 15 people or one person is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And we've had, I think, 23 counts of where the Army Investigative Service has shown that prisoners in custody have died and ruled it homicide, and there's been no punishment for these guys, the perpetrators.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not, what concerns me is these guys are on their second, third, fourth rotation.
Yeah.
And they must be under tremendous amount of stress. But this was a little bit different, this murdering those 15 people, because they've relieved the battalion commander, two company commanders, and it was apparently what Murtha was, from the initial reports, saying it was so cold-blooded.
Mm-hmm.
And they said...
Here are the details. In April, the Marine Corps relieved Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Chassani, commander of the 3rd Battalion of the 1st Marine Regiment, the unit involved in the incident, of his command. Two of his company commanders were relieved of command as well. So, to be fair to Rumsfeld and the Pentagon, they do appear to be taking this quite seriously and moving forward with, again, what appears to be a reasonable investigation.
It should be interesting to see what comes out of this. And if it hadn't have been reported in the media, would anything have come out of it?
Mm-hmm.
The naval services are not too hip on criticizing themselves. And the Army and the Air Force seem to be a little more open when they finally, you know, when they're finally forced to, they go public. But even in my life, for example, Westmoreland wrote in his autobiography, I said this before on your show, Peter, he said, I should have known something was up when we got this combat report of almost 600 dead and only 3 weapons captured.
Yeah. And there is now a new probe underway to an incident April 26th of this year in the town of Hamanidiya, Hamanidiya. The preliminary investigation found sufficient information to recommend a criminal investigation of the incident. Several Marines from the 5th Marine Regiment's 3rd Battalion were sent back to the U.S. pending a conclusion of the investigation. And this is another case where accusation is that they murdered these people, that these were not military actions, or the kind of situation where, Hamid Karzai in Afghanistan this week went to Kandahar because of another American bombing strike that was intended to take out some Taliban leaders, according to U.S. officials, but instead killed a large number of civilians. And that does appear to be accidental, at least on the face of it. I can't say for sure. But the incidents in Haditha and Hamanidiya do appear to be at least being investigated as improper actions that could amount to atrocities.
Well, there is something that gets beat into every active duty military person, and it's called the law of land warfare. And it's not a theoretical exercise. There are very specific things that you can and cannot do. If you're in a firefight and you're defending yourself, there are no rules of engagement. It's period. Once you receive fire, the rules of engagement go out the window. And you're always allowed to, for example, use deadly force to keep somebody from taking your weapon. You're always allowed to use deadly force to keep one of your soldiers or Marines from getting killed. Kind of like the same thing that the way police use their personal sidearms.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a question of tying these guys' hands, or if it's a firefight and a large movement of troops and they're using heavy weapons or the Viper or heavy machine guns and civilians are killed that way. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who apparently were shot in their beds.
Mm-hmm.
This is
a whole
different
thing. We're
going
to take a break and continue with Scott Dick. We're talking about the two incidents that are being investigated in Iraq. And if you have a question or comment, join us this hour as we talk about military and veterans issues. Upcoming, we'll talk about those missing data files, 26 million individuals covered by the Veterans Administration whose records have been compromised. And we're also going to talk about General Jeffrey Miller. He testified in one of the trials of an individual accused of misbehavior at Abu Ghraib, and that's an interesting development. It's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience. I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
He's not just another gardener in another garden. Dave Egbert is the Coastal Gardener. Follow Dave each week to unique destination gardens and nurseries. Discover great plants, garden tips, and fun celebrity garden visits.
Join Dave, the Coastal Gardener, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on ABC 7.
Because the KRXA transmitter is, it's working, but we can't get the signal to it right now. We're not going to do traffic today because it wouldn't help anybody out in their cars. But Scott Dick is with us, and he's got the Tasty Planet on KRXA tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. when we hope the transmitter will be back. What are you going to talk about tomorrow, Scott?
Peter, I'm having a local winemaker. We're going to talk about grapes from 2 years ago, grapes from last year, and what's happening in the fields this year, and my nutrition and food consultant, Michelle mm-hmm. Reese, is going to be on.
All right. So a little wine and a food consultant, too?
Yeah, we're going to talk nutrition and health and that kind of thing.
All right. Should go down real smooth. And corks or screw caps?
I think I'm going to vote for screw caps this week.
All right. That's the Tasty Planet. Saturdays, 1 to 3 p.m. on KRXA 540. Peter B. Collins Show continues. I'm glad you're listening on KGOE 1480 in Eureka. And we're also heard on KSAC 1240 Sacramento and KPHX 1480 in Phoenix. And just a program note that our listeners in Monterey today aren't able to hear the program on the radio. The transmitter's working, but the phone line to the transmitter got knocked out. And crews are feverishly working to correct that. And we hope to get back on the air shortly, but that's just one of those things that happens in live radio. Scott Dick is with us. He's our contributor on veterans and military affairs. And, Scott, next I want to turn to this amazing story about the Veterans Administration permitting one of its employees to take home a laptop computer and apparently some disks or other storage devices that had the records of 26 million veterans who served this country. and through a freak burglary, or maybe it was not so freak, but a burglary at this individual's house led to the loss of this information, and the head of the VA didn't find out about it from his own people for 2 weeks.
Well, Peter, to me, somebody should get fired. I mean, it's pretty simple. First of all, they're saying that the analyst was never supposed to take that stuff home, but he'd been doing it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, government employees, don't write me any emails, but I know a lot of government employees, and that's unusual for him to take stuff home. And it makes no sense that he would be taking this stuff home every day for 3 years. His house has been burglared before, and now it suddenly comes up missing, the laptop and all this information. Now, how do you store that information? I wonder how many megabytes mm-hmm. that 26 million names with all their information fits on.
Right. I mean, it shouldn't be like on a flash drive, the kind of thing you can put on a keychain.
Yeah, not hardly.
Yeah. And how many, I mean, if you put it on CDs, you know, you can only put 750 megs on a CD. It would take quite a few to store all that data.
And what's odd is the VA has been slammed consistently since September 11th for their lack of security, for their lack of information security, and their budgeting. So what they're saying is this guy had a top of the line computer that could hold all this stuff, and he had all the CDs or DVDs, and he was taking this carting the stuff back and forth between his office and home. Why? Would be the first question. Two. Why didn't they go to the boss on day one and say, guess what, we've had this problem? There's something really fishy in this.
It was interesting to see the boss. His name is Jim Nicholson, the secretary of the Veterans Affairs Department, was hauled up to Capitol Hill yesterday. And I'm trying to remember who the congressman was who was grilling him. Not coming to mind. At any rate, Nicholson was mushmouth and really not responding very favorably from the congressman's point of view. And he talked in very bland general terms about how he was going to get to the bottom of this and how upset he was by it. But he also pointed out that just sending a letter to every veteran whose data was compromised would cost $11 or $12 million.
Oh my goodness. My heart's bleeding for him. You know, Peter, some of these guys haven't been on active duty in 40 or 50 years. Some of these people are older, and they could send me an email. I don't need a letter. And certainly the head of the VA, who's a vet, he says, doesn't need a letter. You could send him an email saying your stuff has been stolen. But what are they going to do about the people who are overseas and just going to mail a letter to them and say, by the way, your information was compromised? Then what? So one of the congressmen was calling for the VA to pay for credit monitoring for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, that's going to be prohibitive. And he got spanked pretty hard by the congressman. It was nice to see.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, it's just a pretty lame situation to permit to develop. And we may not know for a long time just how many people's information has been compromised or sold or transferred to somebody who wants to try to perform an identity theft operation. And so this could be something that blows over because the people who stole the laptop may not know the value or may not have known before this became public the value of the data that they grabbed. But assuming that they have some idea about that, they're not just going to sell it to AT&T for NSA data mining operations.
Well, Peter, here's what's fishy. Here's the names, the 26.7 million veterans and their information, Social Security numbers, date of birth, all the stuff you need for identity theft. And whether it was on CDs or DVDs, they said they stole the laptop, which means if it was stolen with the laptop, it was part of the laptop, which means it had a huge hard drive. So what they're saying is a top-of-the-line laptop that was stolen from the guy's house. So a guy takes his computer home with him. And I would like to know exactly the circumstances because it sounds so fishy. He took it home with him. Why didn't he take it back to the office? Was he at work when the burglary happened? Did it happen over the weekend? There's a lot of details I don't like. If I had a laptop from work, it had sensitive information on it, you know, I just don't leave it lying around.
Well, and I can understand that they didn't go public with this immediately because it would have tipped off the burglars that, you know, they had information that might be much more valuable than they had thought. They may have just thought they got the laptop. But to not tell Jim Nicholson for 2 weeks suggests that they were feverishly trying to cover this up and come up with a happy ending before they told their boss about what had occurred.
I'm curious about when they told the law enforcement as well, because the chances of recovering that machine are greater if they put it out on the net immediately and didn't wait. Now, did they wait 2 weeks and get a chance for them to sanitize the box? I mean, people buy stolen computers over eBay.
Mm-hmm.
So did they wait 2 weeks? Is the transaction already done? Is it erased from the records? Blah, blah. There are serial numbers, all that stuff. Unless they're so lame that the VA just bought this computer and they spent 2 weeks trying to find the documents showing the serial number and what kind it was and all that other stuff. That could be part of the story.
Yeah. All right, we're going to continue in just a moment. Your calls and comments are welcome here on the Peter B. Collins Show as we talk about military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. Use the toll-free line, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Puts you right through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You can also visit peterbcollins.com and see what happens.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In life and in business, having the right tools, the right technology, helps get work done easier, faster, and better.
And no one is better equipped to provide that technology than Sharp.
A full line of multifunctional products with open systems architecture that do much more than copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp, OSA-enabled MFPs.
Gives you a window into your business applications.
So you can access what you need, when you need it, right from the LCD panel.
Sharp MFPs. High-quality network printing in both black and white and color from one machine.
Even industry-leading security features to protect confidential documents.
Sharp MFPs. Streamlined workflow, maximized ROI, low total cost of ownership.
Tri-County Business Systems. Solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
Hello, everybody. This is R.J. Moyer, president of AboutCollegeFunding.com. Joining me this Saturday morning will be the executive director of the California Student Aid Commission, Ms. Diana Fuentes-Michelle. The California Student Aid Commission administers the Cal Grant program. Join our discussion on the Cal Grant and other financial aid topics. That's this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. And remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines.
The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The B stands for Bing. Because I am powered today by Bing Sherry's, produced here in the great state of California. It's my favorite time of the year because the cherries come in fruity, tasty, bountiful, and cheap. So pass a few around this weekend at your Memorial Day barbecues. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. If you'd like to join the conversation, particularly if you served, we'd be delighted to hear from you. Our number is toll-free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And just during the break, Scott and I were chatting a little bit about the photos that were released last week under a Freedom of Information Act request that was put forward by a conservative group called Judicial Watch. And the photos, of course, many of us have seen. And they weren't all new, but they kind of played it that way in the media. And they showed some activity at the Pentagon on 9/11/2001. And in the corporate media, I heard many anchors and reporters claim that this proves that an airplane was flown into the Pentagon on 9/11. And Scott, you tell me that you have some skepticism about the so-called conspiracy theory junkies who don't believe what happened on 9/11. And still, in looking at the photos yourself, tell me what you think. Do you see an airliner represented in the sequence of photos that they released?
Well, first, Peter, the reason I'm skeptical is because 2 years ago, my dad's house, you know, who's a Goldwater Republican, there was an issue of Popular Mechanics that completely debunked all the conspiracy theories concerning September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'd like to see that because I have an open mind and I've seen all the stuff that debunks what they told us on 9/11.
Well, you know Popular Mechanics. I mean, they are the heart and soul of accurate media.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of a joke, Peter.
I know.
And so at the break, I was looking at this image and I thought, if that's supposedly that first part of the image where you can see it nosing into the frame is supposed to
from
be an airliner,
uh-huh.
I immediately thought cruise missile. That looks like the nose of a cruise missile, and I'm complete skeptic about the 911 conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the front of end. Two things, Peter. First, the angle of attack is all wrong. That's mm-hmm. What they call nap of the earth flying.
Say that again?
Nap of the earth.
Nap of the earth. What does that mean?
Nap of the earth flying in helicopters is glorious. What happens is because the helicopter is so vulnerable, when they're in close to contact with the enemy, they fly below the terrain features. For example, if there is a valley or ravine, or even a ravine, going from point A to point B, they won't fly a straight line because you can be shot down. They fly in that ravine.
Sure.
And it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the best video games, you see these kids flying Nap of the Earth, the jet bombers. Well, they don't fly jet bombers Nap of the Earth. Not that I know of. I think Special Ops might, but you know the average pilot doesn't. But mm-hmm. helicopters do. It's quite exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's only a few meters above the terrain. That looks like Nap of the Earth flying. The angle of attack for a airline bomb.
757 is what it was supposed to be.
That doesn't look anything like the nose of a... I'm looking at the photograph now. It that mm-hmm. looks like the nose of a cruise missile. Odd.
Well, I'm in this awkward position because I've done a lot of research and I've listened carefully to the critics of the myths that we've been told about 9/11, and I believe that substantial questions have been raised about every one of the incidents, about the attacks in New York, about the plane that was downed in Pennsylvania, and about the Pentagon. And I don't know what actually happened. I can't prove that something else happened. All I can say is that the physical evidence that we have seen does not match the accounts and narratives that have been provided by the government and amplified by the media and now by Hollywood with movies like Flight 93. And particularly at the Pentagon, you look at the hole in the building, you look at the physical evidence there, it is not consistent with a 757 being flown into the side of our headquarters for the Defense Department.
No, that's what the picture I'm looking at is quite ugly. And the thing for me, Peter, is in full disclosure, I don't want to believe that it was anything but a 757 flown by hijackers. A friend that I served with in Bosnia, his brother was killed in that.
Yeah.
And then his wife died of cancer, and so he's the soldier that was killed at Tenagon.
Mm-hmm. I fully understand that. It's very difficult once you start down this path of questioning what happened on 9/11, because it takes you into darker and darker possibilities, and you don't want to acknowledge that there could have been some complicity between our government and whoever attacked us.
No, I want that to be a 757, but it sure is low to the ground and flying straight towards the Pentagon, which doesn't seem possible to me.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get you a copy of Loose Change 9/11, and next time after you've seen it, you're on the show, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't have any sense that anybody has to agree with everything that I question about 9/11. But when you see this powerful documentary, it just leaves your jaw dropped, and you're saying, wow.
Yeah, I don't like this picture.
If it didn't happen that way, what did happen?
Exactly, and I don't like this picture at all.
All right, let's change the subject so you don't get totally bummed out. Scott Dick is with us, and your calls are welcome at 888-579-2540. Now, one of the people we've talked about on several occasions when you've joined me on the program, Scott, is Major General Jeffrey D. Miller. He was the guy who was put in charge of Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and then in August of 2003, Rumsfeld sent him to Iraq, and the lower-level people at Abu Ghraib reported that General Miller was sent there to Gitmoize Abu Ghraib. And within days of his visit, Ricardo Sanchez, the lieutenant general who was the commander of coalition forces in Iraq, issued guidance, some guidelines to the interrogators, that seemed to allow for the use of dogs during the interrogation process. Well, as you pointed out a few weeks or months back, Scott, General Miller at one point used the equivalent of the Fifth Amendment to decline to testify in a court-martial because he, well, didn't want to possibly incriminate himself. But then he was called as a witness in the current trial of Sergeant Santos Cardona, who is charged with using dogs to abuse prisoners at Abu Ghraib. And General Miller spent an hour on the witness stand. He offered new details of his trip to Iraq, which has been depicted as importing harsh interrogation techniques from Gitmo. He said he recommended that military dogs could be used to help with custody and control of detainees. The attorney for Sergeant Cardona asked whether General Miller had recommended military working dogs as part of the interrogation situation. He said no. General Miller said he believed that the dogs were very effective in assisting detention staff in maintaining custody and control. So that's at least the New York Times report of General Miller's participation in this court-martial at Fort Meade in Maryland.
That sounded like a bunch of crap to me, Peter.
Tell me why.
Well, first of all, if you have guys behind bars and cages and you have three or four or five troops taking one prisoner from point A to point B, why do you need a dog to maintain control? You see the pictures in Gitmo, there are always three individuals on each prisoner, and the yep. prisoner is blindfolded with his hands handcuffed, and maybe he even has leg shackles. So if you're moving a prisoner from point A to point B at Abu Ghraib, and he's got the same kind of shackles and handcuffs, why do you need three and a dog? Also,
well,
Peter...
I can't answer that, but it's a very good question.
So, and the guys, I don't know if they have guns inside the prison, but a lot of these people were reservists, and they're professionals, either in the corrections department or in police forces, plus they're trained well by the Army. The second part is, if you remember Colonel Tom Pappas, who was the military battalion commander there,
mm-hmm.
I served with him in Bosnia. I knew him to be an honorable, forthright, smart intelligence officer. Served with him every day. And he was charged, he took an Article 15, and that's in lieu of court-martial, and he's one of his charges was that he disobeyed a lawful order by allowing dogs to be used without permission of General Sanchez. So does that mean that he could use the dogs if he had the permission of General Sanchez?
Well, that's a very interesting question to pose. There is a little bit more here about Colonel Pappas. It describes him as the top military intelligence officer at Abu Ghraib. He testified in the earlier trial of a Sergeant Smith that General Miller had recommended the use of dogs during interrogations. But on Wednesday, in the current trial of Santos Cardona, Pappas testified that General Miller did not make any such specific recommendations. So he seems to be either a wobbly source of testimony, or he's being leaned on.
I think he's just been totally co-opted. I think they have him by the
short hairs.
But and he's not going to say anything that's going to first. This is also fishy too. I know that guy. They have him hanging out, flapping. He could be charged with anything at any time because he took an Article 15. You don't get protected. That's administrative punishment. So he has basically a court martial hanging over his head any time a general decides to bring charges on him. Mm-hmm. Miller took the fifth. Now he's coming forward. Why is that? I don't understand.
Yeah. Well, and once again, he's testifying in the case of a sergeant. And, you know, they have managed to contain the damage, to limit the fallout to very low-ranking individuals. And so far, while it has been accused from outside the military that Rumsfeld specifically authorized or at least indirectly permitted these policies to go into place, they are able to contain or compartmentalize the responsibility at the lowest possible levels.
Well, it's always a push down when it comes to accepting responsibility for questionable activities. It's sad to see it. The people go into the protect mode, and you know our favorite joke. And when I was on staff, was the staff officer's handshake. You know what that is?
What's that?
Pretend you're holding a knife, and then hold it. Put your arm up straight and then bend it at the elbow like you're sticking the knife in your back.
Right.
That's the staff officer handshake.
All right, we'll continue with Scott Dick in a moment. We're going to go to the phones in the next segment. So if you have a comment about military or veterans issues, join us. 1-888-579-2540. Toll free, that's 888-579-2540. It's 45 minutes past the hour. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun in the Monterey Bay area. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make Monterey and our region such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
At KRXA 540, we're still waiting for the phone company to get our signal back to the transmitter. So in the meantime, you got to listen online. And our guest, Scott Dick, of course, is the host of the Tasty Planet, which airs tomorrow from 1 to 3 p.m. Hopefully the transmitter will be back, but if not, you can listen online at KRXA540.com. And you got a local winemaker and your nutrition advisor. Anything else that we can lick our chops over for tomorrow's show?
Well, for Rich Tanguay, he's going to talk about the, when I say grapes from 2 years ago, you know, there's a lot of grape, there's a lot of wine that's being stored, being, you know, perfected in oak, and they bottled last year's already. We're going to talk about that and how that looks, that vintage, and then this year, where the plants should be and what's happening with all the rain. So, you know, we're not going to get too much into the nitty-gritty because the Tasty Planet is a fun show, but we will talk some nitty-gritty. And then the food, you know, I'm the victim of this organic produce every week. I get a box of it, and so we're going to talk cooking with organic produce, et cetera.
Cool. That's tomorrow. And I'm responsible for the dead air right now. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's a Friday afternoon heading into the Memorial Day weekend, and I'm glad you're tuned in. We continue with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs. And, hey, Scott, we were talking a few minutes ago about your skepticism about the skeptics of 9/11. And Tom from Eureka emailed, Peter B., the popular mechanic story says nothing about why there was molten steel in the basement 5 weeks later. Also doesn't mention Building 7 when talking about why pancaking brings down the two other buildings, and he gave me a link to the popular that website. So over the weekend I'll peruse that and see if I learn anything from it.
Cool.
So next up, you have some information from your military sources about some interesting developments internally about some new departments of PSYOPs and civil affairs.
Well, for the first time in a long time, they're making, I don't think these were ever branches, but there are basic branches in the Army, and infantry, artillery, air defense artillery, armor, those kind of things. And when you go into the Army as an officer, you're assigned to a branch. It's very important that you keep coming back to the branch. You compete against other people in your branches. You're educated in that branch.
Mm-hmm.
So civil affairs and psychological operations were always second specialties that one could have. Mine was a foreign area officer. You can get a second specialty in finance and public affairs, that kind of thing. Now they're making civil affairs and psychological operations basic branches. So you can come directly into the Army and go into civil. Before, they were only in the reserves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to have their own their own insignia. So I'm just gespannt to find out what the psychological operations branch insignia is going to be.
And well, don't you think they could borrow the one from John Poindexter's Total Information Awareness Office?
Did it have a insignia? What was it?
I never saw it.
I think they should have a head that's got the skull open with a hand putting like a computer disk inside of it or something like that. And they could make that into a cute little insignia that they could wear on their uniforms. And civil affairs, a wheelbarrow full of, food.
Okay.
Something silly like that. But that's finally, after all these years of doing work in countries, psychological operations and civil affairs, that they're going to be branches, and that's going to be good because then you stay in that branch, you train in that branch, and you get to know everybody in that branch versus just the functional area.
And how do we, when it comes to psychological operations, I can tolerate them in terms of using them on a designated enemy. My fear is now that we have really removed or at least blurred the firewalls that used to protect Americans from surveillance by the NSA, for example, that we will be unable to detect when psychological operations are used on us by our own government.
You mean like the Republicans are using PSYOPs now?
Yeah.
Well, they do that anyway. But if you're... Peter, don't be afraid of the PSYOPs guys.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you a little story. When I was we went into Bosnia early on part of reconnaissance, and we were talking to the PSYOPs guys, just sitting around talking about all the things we're going to do when we first moved into Bosnia. This is late 95, just right after Dayton was signed. And they were talking about doing a radio drop. And the rest of the people sitting around the table were like, a radio drop? What's a radio drop? We imagine these big, you know, Philco sets crashing down from helicopters. And they said, oh, these are great radios that we have they're crystal radios with headphones. We drop them in with the language, and it tells people how to use them so they can listen to, like, Radio Free America and stuff. And we dropped them in Haiti, and we dropped them in Somalia. And we're like, well, didn't you guys notice as we drove through places like Mashtar, these big apartment buildings? Sure, there was no electricity and they're using wood burning, but every room had a blue light in it. They were all watching TV.
Yeah.
We bought our satellite dishes for the headquarters in Tuzla, downtown Tuzla, at a Radio Shack equivalent. So these fruitcakes wanted to drop radios because they thought that Bosnia was such a third world country. We're like, guys, didn't you notice this is where we got our satellite dish was from downtown? They're like, well, you know, maybe we won't do a radio drop. Don't be afraid of the PSYOPs, guys. You'll know it when they come into town. In Bosnia, they had this one sheet with Cyrillic on one side and Latin Serbo-Croatian on the other. One page, Bosnian Serbians could cause a riot by using shortwave AM radio stations, kind of like what we're doing. In 15 minutes, they could bring 1,000 people to a bridge to block the relocation of Bosnian Muslims. But we are countering all the propaganda the Bosnian Serbs are putting out in the early days of Dayton with one page. One page. That was PSYOPs.
Wow.
And they'd hand them out on the street. Another great story. They had this big riot where the women of Srebrenica attacked the UN building and broke windows. And, you know, the UN guys ran and hid in closets and they called for support. And the NATO guys went there. And we were all talking about, you know, nobody knew that they were going to have this riot. This came out of no place. And one of the translators said, what are you talking about? Flyers have been up on telephone poles in town for like 2 weeks. So you'll know when the PSYOPs guys, the Army PSYOP guys come to town. It's a ton of bricks and there's nothing subtle about it.
Well, and what you're saying is, to circle back to the 9/11 questions, the biggest thing that keeps me from doubting everything is that it requires you to believe that there was a highly coordinated effort at many levels of our government and military, and it's that very aspect of it that leads me to doubt that they could pull that off and keep it secret for 5 years.
Well, there's some pretty great guys out there. They got a new Army intelligence unit called the Army Operational Activity, and it's operating, it's quiet, and that's supposed to be human intelligence. It's not technical intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
So they're out there, Peter. They're, you know, and they're really slick guys. Good intelligence is like good, good waiters. They're invisible.
Now, Scott, you had a couple of items for us, some breaking news from the military journals and outlets that you cover. What did you want to bring to our listeners' attention today?
Well, the idea to put the National Guard on the border is fun for the Republicans to talk about because it makes it sound like they're doing, you know, important work and they're going to send 6,000 to the border and they want to do it only during their 2 weeks of annual training.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Peter,
and they're not actually going to the border. They're going to go nearby.
And they're not going to do any law enforcement work. They're only going to do support operations. But, Peter, most of the Reserve National Guard training is when?
In the summer.
So everybody's going to go down for 2 weeks during the summer, and then the rest of the border is going to be uncovered the rest of the year? Question mark?
It's all pretty loony to me. It just seems like an attempt at a lengthy photo op that would try to calm the extreme right, the rabid radical Republican right in this country, to try to get them to sign on to Bush's idea of compromise immigration legislation. But, you know, the bill that sends them there specifically says that they can't really guard the border. They can't really interdict any illegals who come across. And they are essentially there to support the Border Patrol. Well, I don't know, you know, what exactly that means. But given that they're going to be turning over every 2 weeks, it means that they're really just showing up so that they can be present. But, you know, what are they going to do? March on maneuvers a couple of miles from the border?
They're going to be...
And then if they're approached by immigrants saying, well, go turn yourself into the Border Patrol.
Don't bother me. I'm busy.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to send Air National Guard, too. I don't think people know that. And the Air National Guard, they're going to just be going down there in onesies and twosies, as we say. And then you're going to have these guys on training for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and they promise that they won't send people directly from that have been in Afghanistan. They're going to give them 6 months at home, and they're going to rotate these guys in. They're going to provide support. As you said, it's just one big photo op. And it's ridiculous that I'm so happy I'm not sitting on that planning staff where I've been there, and just you're sitting with everybody thinking, what are we supposed to do with this? How do you plan this? It's impossible.
Well, it's meaningless. That's the bottom line.
Exactly.
And also, the Senate bill that came out yesterday is a bad bill. The House bill is worse. And the, you know, people like me are simply hoping that they won't be able to reconcile them, and so neither one will end up being the basis for immigration law in this country going forward. But that's wishful thinking on my part. In an election year like this, the Republicans, I think, will do whatever it takes to jam it through. Scott, I want to acknowledge Carl, who's a listener in the Eureka Ferndale area, who emails us, and at the moment he is focused on veterans who are homeless. For example, 23% of homeless population in this country is veterans, 33% of the male homeless population is comprised of veterans, and 47% of those are Vietnam-era veterans. And he is working to provide what he calls a hand-up, not a hand-out. And, Carl, I just want to commend you for the work you're doing in Northern California. Scott, a pleasure as always. Thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome, Peter. And Carl's job is just going to get harder as all these vets on the 3rd and 4th, 5th, 6th tours come back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, you're right about that. Thank you, Scott. We'll talk next week.
Okay.
Coming up next, John Laird, the assemblyman from Santa Cruz who chairs the Assembly Budget Committee, will join us. Also next hour, Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Straight ahead, here on the Peter B. Collins Show, go ahead and drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, montereylimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or montereylimos.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. Ask the top military dog in Iraq about the troop situation there, and General George Casey will tell you the Iraqi army is getting stronger and stronger.
We have two Iraqi divisions, 15 Iraqi brigades, and over 60 Iraqi battalions that are actually in the lead across Iraq in their own areas of the country. A year ago, that was less than a handful.
So then, why is the Pentagon sending more U.S. troops into Iraq?
They have moved additional battalions into Iraq to deploy to Al-Anbar province, which has been a center of insurgence activity, or to bolster patrolling activity, particularly in Baghdad.
That's where CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland thinks those additional American forces will be going. CBS News has learned a battalion stationed in Kuwait will be given marching orders for Iraq. Last fall, U.S. Marines were sent into the northern Iraqi city of Haditha. They were there to defend it. Instead, some of them could face murder charges after a civilian massacre. CBS's David Martin's at the Pentagon and says
members of Congress have been told eight Marines and one Navy corpsman were present when the killings took place, but a much larger number knew what had happened because another unit went in to take pictures.
How's this for a snapshot? Itching and burning and a nasty rash that leads to blisters and scabs. If you've ever had shingles, you know it's painful. Now, help.
This is the first and only vaccine to prevent shingles.
Dr. Jeffrey Silber is with the drug maker Merck.
The vaccine is administered as a single dose, an injection under the skin, and at this time it isn't known whether people will need a booster.
The FDA has approved the drug, which will only be given to those who've already had chickenpox. This isn't the weekend to be sick. Memorial Day is big for travel, especially road trips, but is the high price of gas keeping you at home? Not her.
I'm not sitting around and doing nothing. You know, there's a lot of country out here to see, and we want to go as everywhere we can.
She's not alone. The AAA estimates about 37 million folks will hit the road this year. That's about 1% more than last year.
Our numbers are slightly above normal for a Friday right now. And tomorrow they're slightly above, and they flatten out on Sunday and Monday.
That guy's at Logan International Airport in Boston. Well, it's busy. There was a trouble on the road home for a couple busloads of high school kids heading back to New Jersey from a trip to Florida. The buses slammed into each other on I-95 in North Carolina. 44 students got banged up a bit. Nothing serious. Police can't say the same for the guy behind the wheel.
The driver of the bus, Mr. Ozell Robertson, age 61, from Columbia, South Carolina, was pinned in the bus for a short period of time. He has since been transported to a medical facility for care.
Investigators are checking to see if the first bus was in good mechanical shape. On Wall Street, the Dow ended the week on a strong note, gaining 67 points, and NASDAQ was up 12. This is CBS News.
Hey, Memorial Day weekend signals the start of summer. So for all your indoor and outdoor projects, head on over to the Ace Hardware Memorial Weekend Sale. Get a stainless steel gas grill for only $3.99, or relax in some cedar Adirondack chairs for just $29.99. The Memorial Weekend Sale at your local Ace Hardware starts Friday. Don't miss it. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities limited. Available at participating stores.
You see a squirrel in the road. Your car stops. It gets dark. Your car lights the way. You order a coffee. Your car holds your cup. Your car takes care of you. So how do you take care of your car? Sears Auto Centers. Full service car care from diehard batteries to all the top tire brands, even on Sundays. And right now we're having our biggest Goodyear tire sale ever. So bring your car to the experts at Sears Auto Centers. Your car would do the same for you. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Sale ends 5/27/06.
Getting a report just in of a 6.2 magnitude earthquake centered near Java, Indonesia. Planning a trip to an amusement park this week or this summer? CBS's Lou Miliano says, while your lunch may come up, some ticket prices are coming down.
Across the country, these theme parks, from Cedar Point to Six Flags, discount tickets rule. Beth Robinson's with the International Association of Amusement Parks.
As an example, Six Flags will take $15 off up to six admission prices in exchange for a receipt for gasoline purchase. Central Missouri, in their Chamber of Commerce, many of them are doing gas buster discount cards.
Robinson says the parks are going after customers in a big way, even though they found the only real deterrent isn't higher gas prices, but the weather. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
Head to Chicago's lakefront beaches this summer. You'll see something different. Covered trash cans. It's part of an effort to keep seagulls away to reduce waterborne bacteria caused by their droppings. I'm Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. In this surly to bed and surly to rise world, it's nice to find a group of people who love what they do. The accountants at Grant Thornton are just such people. It's their passion for what they do, their expertise and partner involvement, that have made them one of the largest accounting organizations in the world, with member firms in over 100 countries. Visit grantthornton.com. It just might brighten your day, too. Grant Thornton, a passion for the business of accounting. This is Charles Osgood, and I'll see you on the radio on the Osgood File.
In the search for ways to improve healthcare, we'd like to add another solution. I-beams. That's right, I-beams. A member of the American Institute of Architects can use I-beams to create spaces that enhance healing by easing a patient's mind, sharpening a surgeon's skill, softening a nurse's touch. Not bad for a hunk of iron. Get an AIA architect involved early. You'll feel much better. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast. We got Joe Foreman at the controls today. And your calls and comments are welcome here at the Collins Show. 888-579-2540 is our toll-free line. Coming up shortly, Brad Friedman, the proprietor of bradblog.com, will join us. And we'll talk about voting and electronic voting machines and those sorts of issues. Still grave concerns about that coast to coast this year. John Lehrer joins us. He is a Democrat from Santa Cruz who chairs the California Assembly's Budget Committee. And, John, welcome back to our program today.
Hey, Peter. It's great to be here.
How are you holding up? It's a very busy season for elected officials with our primary just about 10 days away.
Oh, the primary's 10 days away. The deadline for assembly bills getting out of the assembly is Friday, and the budget conference committee starts Wednesday and meets all day, almost every day for 10 days. It's going to be a wild time.
Wow. That's a very full plate.
Yeah, hopefully I'll get some sleep in the middle of it.
in the middle of those budget meetings?
Well, I'm sure there'll be some things that would be worthy of inducing sleep at times during a 10-hour hearing.
I can understand that. You have announced that the Assembly Appropriations Committee has passed a bipartisan plan to fund the operating costs for a veterans cemetery at the former Fort Ord. I know this is an issue that has concerned a lot of veterans, particularly because the cemeteries are so far away for vets who have settled in the Monterey Central Coast area.
That's exactly right. And there's an estimated 50,000 veterans in the greater Monterey Bay area. And the nearest federal cemetery that's taking people is in Santanella, right off of I-5 in Merced County. And most of the ones in the Bay Area are closed or close to it. And it really is a matter of you'd want to be where your family is or around. And the real problem has been that the federal government, given the proximity of the others, won't fully fund a veteran cemetery, but they would reimburse capital costs. And the state doesn't really want to operate a cemetery, a veteran cemetery, and have the operations costs. And I was able to find this middle ground that takes the 204 acres at Fort Ord and uses part of it to generate revenue, possibly with the private cemetery, and then pays for the maintenance and upkeep of the veteran cemetery, so there's no state general fund, and it still would qualify for reimbursement from the federal government for the capital costs. So it finally bridges that gap, and I got Senator Denham and Assemblymember Salinas to come on as co-authors, and Congressman Farr feels like it's a good direction and is putting a similar thing in a bill about a public-private partnership that he's doing in D.C. So I think we're all moving in the same direction, and we could have a solution here.
What do you see as stumbling blocks that could present themselves?
The one big stumbling block is whether or not we can actually induce a private cemetery operator or to come in and do this. And I think we can. There might be the ability to give a break on the land in exchange for the maintenance of the veteran cemetery, which would really get us most of the way there. So, but we have to find somebody that's willing to do that. And I believe the next step, if the bill passes and is signed, is for the Fort Ord Reuse Authority, or FORA, to put out a request for operators and start to see if that's something we can put together.
Mm-hmm. On another topic, John Laird, your colleague Sally Lieber, a Democrat from Mountain View, put a bill together that I think passed in the Assembly 43-30, so along party lines, and this would permit students in California to opt out of having their contact information sent to military recruiters. And I know in Santa Cruz this is a very hot issue on the campus, and this came out of the federal No Child Left Behind Act that included a clause that required schools who receive federal funds to release contact information of high school juniors and seniors to military recruiters. I think this is a very interesting approach. I can expect that the feds would try to nullify it, saying that a state law cannot override a federal law. Is that an issue or a potential issue here?
It would be a potential issue, except Sally Lieber constructed it in what I think is a very winning way, which is the state law would require families to be notified that they could opt out on their emergency notification forms for who to contact in case of an emergency. So it doesn't violate the federal law. It still says you can opt out, but right now people just don't know you can opt out, and you have to call the district, school district, and really push them to do it. And this way, everybody gets an emergency notification form. Everybody would get a clear notification and an easier and clearer way to opt out. And I think it's a winning situation. And I think the interesting thing is most of the mainstream school organizations were in support of this when we voted it out in the Assembly. I mean, the school administrators, the school boards association, the PTA statewide, it was a real broad base of support, and I thought it was a good way to do it. I think it would withstand any court challenge.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, it's something I fully support, and if people want more information, Sally Lieber, L-I-E-B-E-R, is the author of the bill AB 1778. That's AB 1778. We're talking with Assemblyman John Laird here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, John, next I want to ask you about the governor's race. The new Public Policy Institute of California poll shows that it's really a dead heat. Slight advantage to Phil Angelides, 35% to 32%. But the scary part here is that 10 days in front of the election, a full third of Democrats haven't made up their minds.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm supporting Phil Angelides, and I think the poll's significant in another way, which is the previous ones showed that Steve Wesley had pulled ahead by 10 or 12 points. So even to have a 3% lead for Angelides, which is statistically insignificant, is a good thing for him. It means he's been moving in the right direction. But nevertheless, Steve Wesley wrote himself another $5 million check, and he's given over $30 million of his own money to his campaign. And I think the disappointing thing is that they've gone negative, because it just turns people off. And we have so many positive things to do. We have so many places to go, whether it's healthcare or improving the schools or turning over an environment to the next generation or having a healthy economy and what it takes to have a healthy economy in California. And that's where people really need to be focusing. And I just worry that the negativity is why people aren't necessarily connecting, and it would only help Governor Schwarzenegger in the general election, although it is a long time to go from June 5 months to November
politically. We've seen repeatedly that in a primary, when one opponent opens up the vulnerabilities of another, those are typically exploited in the general election by the opponent of the other party.
It's true. It's true. I mean, all you'd have to do is rerun some of the ads, regardless of who wins in this, and that's a big disappointment. There's all these questions about whether or not the national trends, which are very anti-Bush and very anti-Republican right now, given the war in Iraq and gas prices and problems with the healthcare system and mm-hmm. sort of corruption in Washington, might also overwhelm the election and have an influence, but they really need to connect. And I know it's hard in a state of over 35 million people, and I appreciate the fact that I saw some positive ads for Angelides last night. I'm really hoping that that's what we're going to see down the home stretch.
Well, and it is interesting because, to be fair, Angelides did use some nasty tactics against David Roberti in 1998, and Wesley has been busy reminding people of that. But my belief is that Angelides has conducted this campaign in a very above-board way. Here's an email that came in yesterday from Susan in Santa Cruz. Peter, I saw a perfectly horrific ad tonight against Phil Angelides, how he paved over wetlands, etc. It leaves one with the feeling that Phil Angelides is an anti-environment villain. Just when I wondered who would do such a negative ad, there was Steve Wesley's name. I was in agreement with what you said about Angelides today, and I had planned to vote for him. I don't know a lot about him, but he has seemed to be a good candidate. Thing is, even if he's guilty of the things Wesley's pointing out, the ad was so awful that it really turned me off to Steve Wesley. If this is what is meant by doing as the Republicans do, I wouldn't want any part of it. And she asked, does Angelides really have such a poor record on the environment? I don't think so. Are you aware? I know he was a developer in Sacramento, and he did a lot of green developments there.
Every major environmental group has endorsed Angelides. And even though, and I think it's the Sierra Club's instance, there's a dual endorsement of both Wesley and Angelides. Every single one has been there. And I think that speaks volumes. And that's why I think it's twisted. As somebody that's sort of been out there doing the levy bills and trying to deal with flood control, I was like, geez, if you're really concerned about flood control, where was everybody when we were working on it before Katrina hit? And you know, Steve was missing in action at that point. But I think that's neither here nor there. In terms of the negative ads, it's he was really going for the jugular, and I don't think Phil exercised undue influence with regard to the Natomas development in Sacramento. And, you know, there were many different developers that were part of that. It was a decision that was made unrelated to him individually. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was necessarily a fair shot, but I don't know that fair shots are what seems to be going on in the governor's race right now.
And Wesley, you know, who, as you pointed out, put $32 million of his own fortune into the campaign, is dumping on Angelides because his friend Angelo Sakopoulos put up an independent expenditure campaign. And I can understand that, you know, it doesn't seem quite arm's length. They are friends and former business partners. But to be fair, Angelides just pumped $1.5 million of his own money into the campaign in the last couple of days. And I would prefer to see these gentlemen conduct a campaign about what they're about, not attacking the other person. And to date, I believe Angelides has avoided the mudslinging much more than Wesley.
I think the interest, I agree. And I also think that one of the interesting things is the press didn't cover wonkish things. Phil has amazed me when I've been in Sacramento because as treasurer, he's dealt with different investment strategies for education and many different issues, and yet the press just doesn't seem interested. And so it's like, and I'm sure Steve has done similar things as well. That's part of the problem is people aren't interested in sort of some of the things that are problem solving, and they do dwell on this. I have to confess, as somebody who came from a middle class family where my parents were teachers, where it's not like we ever had a lot of money, I never like it when people pump a ton of their own money in a campaign as a way to get the political office. I've sort of worked my way up, rung by rung, by my own wits and my own ability, and somebody drops $32 million in a campaign, even though he's an old friend of mine, it just doesn't sit quite well with me.
Yeah, I agree. John Laird, thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
My pleasure. I'll talk to you again next week, Peter.
Thank you very much. Chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, Democrat from Santa Cruz, that's John Laird. We're late for a break, but we'll take it now and return with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Rock Roller Real Estate is taking a vacation this Sunday, but we'll be playing one of our best shows, Investing in Arizona Real Estate with Linda Gerchick. Linda Gerchick was the number one commercial real estate agent for Remax Commercial Investment in Arizona in 2005, and she'll be on this Sunday. If you ever wanted to know why now's the time to invest in real estate, this is the show to listen to. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10. To be a guest on the show, call 408-892-3376 or check us out on the web at rockrollandrealestate.com.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540, it's 523 on this Friday afternoon on the Peter B. Collins Show. And ordinarily at this time, we would bring you a live traffic report with our favorite reporter, Amy Knight. But due to technical problems with the phone company, we are unable to get our signal from the studio to the transmitter. And I appreciate all the phone calls and emails that suggest that maybe something nefarious happened and blame the NSA or General Mike Hayden. But the responsibility is local, and the phone company is working feverishly to get our line reinstalled. So as soon as that happens, we'll be back at you with our full broadcast signal. In the meantime, you can listen online at KRXA540.com. And, of course, you know that if you're listening right now. But I thought I'd mention it in case it had escaped your notice. That's www.krxa540.com.
How about your son? How about your daughter? How come it's always poor folk who get shuffled off to slaughter? If you're so gung-ho, why don't you just go? In August of 05, a mighty voice did rise. She lost her precious son, and it can't be undone. She went to see the king, a downright simple thing. She thought she'd tell him of the depth of a mother's love. How about your son? How about your daughter? How come it's always poor folk who get shuffled off to slaughter?
That's Jesse Dian. He's one of the people who congregated at Camp Casey in Crawford, Texas, last August. And it's a powerful song called Sons and Daughters. Brad Friedman joins us from bradblog.com, and the music supplied today by Bradblog. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter. How are you? Hey, thanks for playing that. Love that song. Great song, as you said, by Jesse Dian. He wrote it for Camp Casey, and it's a great great opportunity to play it as we head into yet another Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, it's important to think about that. And you're going to post this with a video up on Bradblog this weekend?
Yeah, actually, a couple weeks ago, he finally released it online with a with some great footage from Camp Casey, and I thought over the weekend was a good opportunity to run that video. I'll have that at bradblog.com, along with some other interesting material, an audio excerpt from Paul Rykoff's new book. Sorry about that. Paul Rykoff from the Iraq-Afghanistan Vets. He's got a new book, Chasing Ghosts.
Oh, yeah. He was on our show this past Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
What a powerful hour that was. His voice is unique and well-informed, and he's an incredible advocate for the people who have or are currently serving in Iraq.
He really is. He's a great hero, so I'm happy to help plug that book a little bit and get that audio out. And by the way, when you had him on, were you able to get in a word edgewise?
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, there are two types of people you interview.
Yeah.
The people who give very short answers and the people who never stop.
Right.
And there is a middle ground.
Yeah, but, well, I think I may be in that latter category, but he was great. The first time I had him on my radio show, I couldn't get in a word edgewise, and we finally just had to go to a break because we had a hard break coming up, and I said to him, during the break. I said, hey, I couldn't stop you. He said, you know, I'm so used to being on these right-winger shows where you can't get a word edgewise. I've just learned to just keep talking until they can shut me up.
Yeah. Now, Brad, the other thing that is exciting in the world of his Bradness is your participation in the audiobook of Greg Palast's new Armed Madhouse. Greg's going to be with us on Tuesday.
Oh, great. Yeah. And in fact, last night I posted some clips that Greg had sent me over from the studio sessions from both myself and Ed Asner. We've got those exclusively over at bradblog.com if you want to get an advanced listen to the book and to the audio book, which won't be released until June 6th.
Mm-hmm.
6606.
Now, that was a bit of a challenging read because the way Greg Palast writes is it's a very interesting style. It's a kind of imagined dialogue with the reader.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a very unique voice, which kind of makes it fun because he deals with, you know, a lot of very difficult topics, but the way he writes is so interesting and, dare I say, playful at times. That makes it fun and interesting and takes some topics that might otherwise be dull and dry and certainly kicks a lot of life into them.
Yeah.
So,
and he, of course, has been front and center on the Enron story and the verdicts in Houston this week kind of brought him back into media attention. And I spent some time, Greg Palast, by the way, there's a link to his website at the KRXA540.com website. And the other night I went and saw one of the video pieces he produced for the BBC, 9 minutes long, would never make it on the air in America, and it was powerful. We got to take a break, and we'll be back with Brad on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Joan Kenley with Talking Matters this Saturday at 3 on KRXA 540. You'll want to tune in for The Art of Storytelling. Do you know the difference between a myth, a fairy tale, and a fable? Gay Ducey and Sandra Noman, our storytelling guests, will tell you. What you'll hear will touch your mind, body, heart, and soul. Gay will share her experience about being a guest on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Sharon has fascinating things to say about how storytelling fits into her life and work. Hear how stories help to amuse, educate, inspire, and change us. Could you become a great storyteller? Keep listening and we'll keep talking about things that matter. My shows are archived on joankenley.com. That's K-E-N-L-E-Y. Join us for The Art of Storytelling this Saturday at 3 on Talking Matters.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with a brand new reality radio show every Saturday evening, 6 to 7, right here on AM 540 KRXA. We'll have colorful, interesting guests and we'll take your calls. There's no subject we won't explore together. So join us this Saturday night, 6 to 7, on Reality Radio with Sheila Gale on Progressive Talk Radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
By exploring nature with friends, children can continue to learn through the summer while having fun. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me and my guests to talk about summer activities for your family. Call us with some of your favorite things to do with children during the summer.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Tom Hartman. When Thomas Jefferson wrote Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness into the Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was the first time in the history of the world that the word happiness had been used in the founding document of any so-called civilized nation.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And Ronald Reagan was the guy who began to take it apart. He was the perfect frontman for really what was fundamentally a vicious idea.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Okay, I pressed the button, and I'm waiting to hear Neil Young. We try to get all our technical problems out in one single day. Just got an email from a Latina friend of mine pointing out that many Hispanics have served our country honorably in the military over the years. And in this time of immigration rhetoric, I just like to say, gracias, amigos. Neil Young and the title song from the powerful new protest CD called Living with War. We're visiting with Brad Friedman, proprietor of bradblog.com, which was the first place that I heard a piece of Neil Young's new CD. Brad, you're just all over the place and on top of it.
I know. I need a nap. I need a nap. I need a break. A holiday weekend coming up.
And you going to take a little time off, or will the news not permit that?
Well, you know what? I can't decide. I'm hoping that it's a quiet news weekend, and I may either catch up with a whole bunch of stuff that needs catching up on, or I'll just take some time off entirely. Haven't yet decided.
Well, I urge you to take a little time off and recharge. Today was kind of quiet around here, and I cleaned up all these newspaper clippings that fill up my office and studio. And it just feels so good.
You actually clip newspapers?
Yes, I do. I'm over the hill.
Wow.
I also print out things from the Internet so that they're there when I'm looking for them, and I don't have to go clicking around madly all over the place to try to find them a second time.
Understood. That definitely makes sense. So, yeah, I do hope to take some time off. We'll see, though. Often it's the news driving me rather than the other way around. So
now, I don't make enough doing this radio show, and I was thinking of signing up with Kelly Services to do a little work on Election Day.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Now, you posted an ad on Bradblog earlier this week, and, well, you took a little heat over it. Explain.
Well, it turns out that the folks up in San Francisco placed an ad seeking poll workers for the upcoming primary election on June 6th, seeking folks to drop off and pick up electronic voting machines around San Francisco. Now, interestingly enough, you may recall that when it was discovered recently that Diebold voting machines were hackable via their memory cards, Secretary of State Bruce McPherson came out and said, well, we're going to go ahead and use those machines anyway. We're just going to implement these rigid physical security procedures so nobody can possibly have access, unsupervised access, to these voting machines. Well, as it turns out, it looks like folks will have access to voting machines, electronic voting machines in San Francisco, if they take up the Kelly Services ad that was posted on Monster.com for $11.99 per hour. You can pick up these voting machines and drop them off and apparently have complete and total unsupervised access to these machines. And you can do whatever you want, I guess. So much for those rigid security procedures. As for the heat I've taken, I'm not yet. Actually, I'm not even sure what heat I have taken. Maybe you can tell me.
I thought you got a little pushback from McPherson's crew.
No, not yet. As far as I know, the last I checked, actually today, the ad has come down. It's no longer up on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
The only heat that I suppose you might suggest is that it turns out San Francisco uses ES&S voting machines primarily, as opposed to Diebold machines. In my report, I didn't really speak about what type of machines they used up there, but rather to say that, you know, nobody we have seen should have unsupervised access to these voting machines ever. They are just that hackable and unsecure. So to pretty much, you know, throw open the doors and allow anyone who needs a job for $11.99 an hour to, you know, have access to our election systems, when we've now learned that access to a single machine can affect an entire election countywide, is just insane, isn't it?
For hardworking, responsible, punctual people to assist in dropping off election voting machines and picking these machines up when voting is complete, must be able to lift these election machines, approximately 40 pounds, with little assistance. Access to private transportation is highly recommended. Can't you just see somebody getting on BART, you know, with a hand truck with voting machines on the, you know, and just, well, yeah, I didn't have a car, but I needed the work. Now, Brad, one of the things that occurs to me here is that this type of work has typically been done either by civil servants in the election department of a given municipality or county, or they hire citizens to perform these duties at the polls on election day. But isn't this a new level of outsourcing to go to Kelly Services, a temporary employment agency, and outsource this? Shouldn't it be properly outsourced to Diebold or ES&S?
Well, yes, one would think, but this may have actually come from ES&S, who, by the way, has just failed, in election after election in just these first couple of months of the year, these primary elections. ES&S has been an absolute disaster, not showing up, not having enough workers, and so forth. Now, I spoke just before coming on the air with a couple of folks in the San Francisco Board of Elections, who said that they don't outsource it, that they, in fact, bring on their own workers. But if there was an ad posted out there, that would be one of their vendors who had done that. In this case, they say that would have been ES&S. So apparently ES&S has brought on Kelly Temporary Services to go out and find people to work for them on election day.
And accountability gets lost in the shuffle. We outsource, and then the outsourcers subcontract. And who's in charge of those people?
Nobody's in charge. This is what we found this week in Arkansas, where they just had a disaster with their elections. The entire state is largely an ES&S state, and as it turns out, it was such a meltdown that yesterday, and it was yesterday or the day before, ES&S completely replaced the entire management team out there in Arkansas. They're promising to bring in a new team to figure out what the hell went wrong and to try and get things together very quickly, because in Arkansas, they had their election last Tuesday, but this coming Tuesday now, they start their early voting for runoff elections. They're still trying to count all the votes from last Tuesday. They had such a mess. How they're going to be able to turn it around and reprogram all of these electronic machines again in time for early voting on Tuesday, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen.
Well,
unforeseen consequence of electronic voting.
Brad, given your technical expertise, it's shocking that I would remind you of this.
Yes.
But they can control all those machines centrally.
Well, you're right.
They'll be able to do that over the weekend. You just write the code once and hit click.
Yeah, well, but J. Kenneth Blackwell may be busy this weekend. So
I see.
He can't do everything. You know?
One more note about San Francisco. You may recall that in the last mayoral election in the city by the bay, it was very, very close between Gavin Newsom and Matt Gonzalez, a Green Party challenger, and it went into runoff mode. And Newsom narrowly won victory, and about a week later, some boxes with uncounted ballots were found floating on the bay. Now, I can just wait to see, you know, the day after Election Day in June. We'll go out on the bay, Brad, and see if we can fish out some ES&S machines.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've had people at Bradblock, commenters, who have, for quite some time have been talking about a Boston Tea Party of some sort where they toss these damn machines out into the water. I wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, you point up a difference. You can track when a box of voting, a box of paper ballots disappeared. You know that they're gone. What you don't know with these electronic voting machines is when they've been hacked and tampered with, you'll think you've got completely accurate results, and there's really no way to find out that an entire election has been thrown. That's the difference. I mean, look, people have been trying to game elections for as long as there's been democracies. That's nothing new. The difference is the ease at which it can now be done, and that is just getting worse and worse around the country, and we're seeing examples of it, and it's still stunningly not being accurately covered, even with a lot of reports of late. Over the weekend, last weekend, we had NPR jumped in on the weekend edition and actually filed a terrific report. I'll go ahead and take some credit on that since I spoke with them before the report and advised them a little bit on it. Mm-hmm. That's available for listening at Brad Blog along with the transcript. And then at the beginning of the week, Stephen Levy of Newsweek also covered the issue. Did an okay job, made a couple of fairly important errors, but the point being that I think it's important now that this that the issue gets out there at all. MSNBC covered it yesterday as well. So it's getting out there. Whether it's getting out there accurately or effectively is another matter, and whether the politicians are going to actually do anything about it is another question, although it's a question that we can probably answer with a big fat no, mm-hmm. since they don't seem to be doing a damn thing about it for the most part.
All right, it's time for a break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll continue with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to go to the phones in the next segment, so get on the line if you'd like to talk with us. The toll-free line is your best bet at 1-888-579-2540, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tom Hartman.
And over the last 3 days, the new conservative talking points that have been going out are blame it on Bill Clinton.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
The high gas prices, we got to shift the blame to the Democrats, say it's all because he didn't let them drill in Anwar. The real reason is because for almost 20 years now, the Republicans have prevented us from raising CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards. Average fuel efficiency of a car right now is back where it was in the 70s.
Tom Hartman, weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
This is KRXA 540 AM General Manager Hal Ginsberg with an important announcement about an exciting change in our weekday morning lineup. Casey, cut it out. This is very important. I'm trying to tell people about the show, our new program following Stephanie Miller, weekday mornings.
First of all, you're going to have to wake people up, Hal.
Aha, very funny. Just what we would expect from the number one morning news anchor in Sand City. So join Hal and Casey for the show.
I thought it was going to be Casey and Hal.
I changed it, which is my prerogative.
Your what?
Look it up! And please, join us weekday mornings from 9 to 10 for the show.
It's KRXA 540 at 546 on this Friday afternoon. I just got good news from Sparky in engineering at KRXA. That is, we're back on the air. The transmitter's been on all afternoon, but the signal wasn't able to get from the studio to the transmitter because of a telephone outage. And I want to thank the folks at the old SBC, now AT&T. Sure, they gave my phone records to the government, and I'm still pissed about that. But I'm delighted that they quickly got us back in action here. And I want to thank Carl and Ron and Hal and everybody else who worked all afternoon to get it fixed. And ordinarily, we have a traffic report here, but we gave Amy Knight the afternoon off. She'll be back with us on Tuesday. Monday, you'll hear arguably the best of Peter B. Collins. 3 hours of recent programs as I enjoy a day off and a barbecue with the family. So we're delighted to be back on the air, and now we know it wasn't caused by the NSA. Joe, go ahead and hit that song. It's another tune provided by Brad today. It's kind of a bluesy thing.
Go to the blog. I recommend the bradblog.com. Or maybe verified voting. Or votersunite.org. Or Democratic Underground. Or black box voting. Go check those things out. Then you hear about how we need this election reform.
That's a nice message to a blues election beat reform. From Shannon Williford. It's called Election Reform. And you can grab it for yourself at bradblog.com. That's a great tune, Brad.
It is, and I'm pretty sure it's probably the first blues tune ever to include the word blogs in it.
I think you're right. You know, recently Donald Rumsfeld was giving a news conference, and he talked about how different things are in this era, this war. And he said, you know, we've got digital cameras. We've got blogs. And the way he said blogs, it sounded like his lunch was coming up right behind it.
Well, given all the trouble that he's had because we do have digital cameras and everything that came out in Abu Ghraib, I'm not surprised he feels that way. And, of course, why not? Take it out on the blogs. Take it out on the bloggers. Everything that goes wrong, let's blame the people that actually talk about it,
yep.
Not blame the people that actually do it. Why should we do that?
Well, because it distracts people and allows them to continue doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hey, speaking of distraction, I just want to give a plug, as long as we're giving some plugs this weekend, to
sure.
Shannon Williford. DeliciousBluesStew.com is his website, and that's a great tune, Election Reform, and you can find it at Bradblog, of course.
DeliciousBluesStew.com.
That's it.
All right, cool. Jake's with us.
From Tennessee.
Hello, Jake from Arcata. Welcome to the program today. Oh, we lost him. He was here and he was back and now he's gone. Okay, Jake, if you want to call, we'll talk to you. Now, Brad, your pal John Gideon did some guest blogging for you this week, and the focus in at least part was Mississippi. What's going on there with voting machine scams?
Well, you know, they're having all kinds of problems, of course. I mean, look, they all are. Everywhere. Everybody is having problems with these damn voting machines. You may recall, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that I ran a video of the Secretary of State of Mississippi, who was in a public meeting with a Diebold representative, and the folks wanted to ask him questions about it. It was from 2005. He didn't want to take any questions. He said, well, I'm going to leave my assistant in charge here. I'm leaving now. But as far as security on these machines go, he said, and I'm trying to remember the quote exactly, but something along the lines of these machines were secure even before they added a paper trail. They are the most secure thing outside of a Wells Fargo truck. I'm wondering if he's going to be eating his words now as they're beginning to have problems again in Mississippi. And their elections, I think their elections are coming up shortly. It's just, you know, we've seen this all around the country where these guys, you know, they have no reason to, no evidence for it, but the voting machine manufacturers tell them, oh, these things are fine, everything is under control, and don't listen to those crazy bloggers that Don Rumsfeld tells you about. Don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. And then they're proven wrong in these elections, and then they turn around and they try to figure out who to blame, and ultimately they end up going back and blaming the manufacturers, as they should have in the first place, because the manufacturers are screwing up left and right. Now, had they listened to guys like me and John Gideon and all the rest who have been, you know, making noise, yelling and screaming, and you, frankly, Peter, thank you for you know, being willing to talk about this each week, very few people are, they would probably not be having these problems, but they're having them in a big way. So we're seeing lawsuit after lawsuit, investigation after investigation. And I don't even know where we're going to be by the time we get to November.
Well, in that comparison to a Wells Fargo truck, he obviously isn't aware of that incident. I think it was about 2 years ago. And a Wells Fargo, I'm pretty sure it was one of their armored vehicles.
Yes.
A guy got on an overpass, jumped onto the top of the trailer. It was a tractor-trailer rig, and was able to, apparently with some help from an insider, to penetrate the trailer. And he hopped in, opened the rear door, and started throwing money out to a pickup truck behind him.
I remember that. Yeah, so, well, then maybe Secretary of State Clark was right. Maybe these are just about as secure as a Wells Fargo truck.
All right, Jake's with us now. Jake, welcome to the program.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Hey, I'd just like to ask Brad for his opinion on some of the recent reports from ABC's Brian Ross. You know, first there was the report that the NSA was tracking phone calls of reporters to uncover their sources, whistleblowers inside the government. And then Brian Ross, you know, just reported that Dennis Hastert apparently is part of this Abramoff bribery scandal. What have you heard about this, Brett?
Yeah, interesting that you ask about that because the day that that all broke, I actually spoke that night with Jason Leopold, who I know is a guest of Peter's on Tuesdays, and he had put out the reports of Rove being indicted. He was interested to learn the way that ABC story had come about, where you had ABC reporting that, in fact, Hastert was under investigation. The DOJ comes out and says, no, it's not true. Hastert's office demands a retraction from ABC News, and ABC News says, no, we stand by our reporting. That is essentially what has gone on with Jason Leopold and Truthout's coverage of the Karl Rove indictment. They're still standing by that story. We'll be learning some information, I think, in the next couple of weeks about it, of course. But here you have another case where these guys are trying to intimidate reporters and tell them, you know, knock it off. We're going to they're talking about suing ABC right now, and I'm glad to see that ABC is standing up for themselves and not rolling over and saying, oh, we're sorry, we retract it, because their sources, I'm told, are good on this story.
And, Brad, you have two key items back-to-back here posted on Wednesday, pardon me, at bradblog.com. One is related to Dennis Hastert, and that is the story that you and I got originally from Sybelle Edmonds, the FBI whistleblower, which suggests that Dennis Hastert was the beneficiary of campaign contributions that were made, I think, at a $199 level, because if it's $200 or more, you have to report where the money came from. And there were tons of these bundled $199 or less contributions that totaled into the six figures. I think it was like $150,000 that went into Hastert's campaign in this manner. And the suggestion is that these were contributions that were bundled by some murky sources in the Middle East.
Yes, and mind you, as you know, Sybelle is not able to speak about everything that she heard. She's under a bit of a gag order, but everything that she heard while working as a translator at the FBI. And she has called on Hastert's office. This was sometime, I guess, back in February, at least, when we covered it at BradBlog. She's called on Hastert's office to come clean on the $500,000 that he has in unitemized campaign donations.
So it's that much? It's half a million?
It's half a million, yeah.
Wow.
Now, not that they're all necessarily related to the same point, but he has, I believe there was only one other person in Congress who had a larger amount of unitemized contributions. I'm not even going to say the name because I can't remember who it was for sure, but
You can just imagine two. Dennis Hastert is out there spending that money at a 99-cent store.
No, you don't think so?
Now, the other item that I think is connected here to what Jake raised is about Dick Cheney being in the sights of Patrick Fitzgerald. And this, at least, is one plausible scenario for the delay in unsealing what Jason Leopold has reported to be the grand jury's indictments of Karl Rove.
Yeah.
And my guess is that they're sweating Rove and that Cheney is now the real target. We saw the release of the evidence, the annotated handwritten notes from Dick Cheney on an actual copy of the New York Times op-ed by Joe Wilson. And so it seems to me, and I want to be clear that I'm speculating, that Cheney is now not necessarily a quote-unquote target of the investigation, but is clearly a focus of Patrick Fitzgerald's activities. And again, my speculation is that they're sweating Karl Rove in an effort to get more goods on Dick Cheney.
I think your speculation makes a lot of sense. It's similar to some of the things that I've been hearing, and in fact, David Schuster over at MSNBC has been reporting as well that Cheney is becoming more and more of a focus here. I should add that I've been able to talk to quite a few folks who are essentially confirming the reports that Jason Leopold has made over at Truth Out. Now, I haven't gotten them from any sources directly, so I want to make that clear, but the people that I've spoken to have gotten them from direct sources, and they say that Leopold had the story right. Therefore, what's the delay in all of this coming out and what you're talking about and, you know, the focus on really the bigger fish here, who would be Dick Cheney, could very well be what is at play.
And at that note, let's all go fishing over the long weekend, Brad.
I think I will.
See what we come up with. Trigger's here, so I got to hop on and ride out. Thanks a lot for joining me. We'll talk again next week. Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis.
We have had reports of damage already.
And at least three dead after the earth shook in Indonesia. The U.S. Geological Survey says
it's a strong earthquake. It's a magnitude 6.2, shallow depth, less than 34 kilometers. And the location is about 25 kilometers south-southwest of Yogyakarta.
Just where is that?
That is in southern Java, in the center of the island of Java, but on the south near the coast, and only about 30 miles from the erupting Mount Merapi volcano. The eruption itself is not considered serious, but the earthquake is perhaps related to this unstable mountain.
That mountain reporter Stephen Flay is talking about is the Mount Merapi, which has been spewing lava and ash for a while now. Something different's been falling from the sky in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Indiana. Heavy rain and severe thunderstorms have caused nasty flooding, killed at least five since last night. Since the start of the Iraq War, more than 2,465 members of the U.S. military have died. There's been a lot of talk about slowly reducing those numbers and giving more control over to the Iraqi military, but
CBS News has learned that the United States is sending more troops to Iraq to help contain the violence there.
CBS's Bob Schieffer says a number of battalions will head into Iraq. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says those troops are already in Kuwait.
There's one brigade in Kuwait, and they have been calling forward battalions from that. They called up one battalion earlier, a couple weeks ago. And now apparently they are adding two additional battalions from that one overall brigade.
That's the sound of Chicago's O'Hare Airport. Busy with Memorial Day weekend travelers. They're not just flying. This is typically a big weekend for road trips, too.
Memorial Day weekend means visitors are flocking to the New Jersey shore.
We just wanted to get away. School's just about over. Thought we'd get there. Summer started.
That's Steve Elko of Potts Grove outside Philadelphia. With gasoline near $3 a gallon, Steve has to think twice about trips longer than half a tank away.
Anywhere farther than the Jersey Shore would have made a difference. It makes a little getaway vacation a lot more expensive.
Some Jersey Shore merchants believe high gasoline prices will even help business by keeping locals closer to home this season. Mike DiNardo, CBS News, Ocean City, New Jersey.
If you're driving somewhere in that snazzy new Corvette, better listen up.
We've had about